Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, or good morning as the case may be, across all these many varied time zones from the Hawaiian and Tahitian Islands, swiftly moving eastward across this great land to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and some other Caribbean islands, I might add, then on down into South America, north to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM, live, unscreened talk radio, all night long. This comes under the category of you asked for it, so now you're going to get it. And I've been hard at work ever since I've been getting these myriad of unrelenting sleep paralysis calls. Art, I've got it too. It's been going on for days. So, tonight, Al Taylor, Albert Taylor, author of something called Soul Traveler, a man who from a very early age himself experienced death-like night paralysis. And he researched it, and he knows what it is, and he's going to talk to you about it tonight. So under the category of you asked for it, here it comes. We'll get to all of that shortly. Let me do a couple of things right up front, and if you'll get and run and get a pencil. The waiting is over. I am going to tell you about the cruise coming up next year and how to get in on it in just a few moments.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think. As a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Even though I think the middle class is being eroded away because most people are doing relatively okay, we haven't seen that balance of power shift yet. If that gets higher, I think we got a real problem.
I don't see governments being supportive of this kind of rising up of people asserting their frustrations. We're looking at a very historic time beginning to emerge right now.
Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, in a nutshell, here it is, folks. This is night one, and this is your opportunity, and I have had now many years of cruises going to exotic locations, and trust me, this one takes the cake. We're going to leave the United States next October 1st. In other words, a little over a year from now. But because of the prices that we're going to be able to get for you, and they are very, very good prices, we're doing this far ahead of time. Now, we were due to take another tour, but you know I've wanted to see the pyramids, so I've talked them into another tour, and this is a winner. Believe me. So we leave the U.S., bound for Athens, Greece, on October 1st. October 2nd, we arrive in Athens, Greece, and there we transfer from the airport to Holland America's extremely luxurious ship. We know all about the Mazdam because we went on the Mazdam last time, sail at 5 o'clock. Now, of course, you can arrive in Athens a day or two or three early if you want to spend a lot of time in Athens. October 3rd, we get the first full day at sea, and you will love it. There you get a photograph with me trying to smile and a welcome aboard party and so forth and so on. October 4th, we arrive in Alexandria, Egypt, for Cairo. And there is an optional shore tour excursion which goes straight to Giza and the pyramids. You'll be able to descend 100 steps into the center of Cheops, the largest of 3 5,000-year-old pyramids. You may also visit the interior of two other pyramids. And, of course, the famed Sphinx just off to the side. So, this is my baby. I've been wanting to go there, and we're going. Then, October 5th, we go to Jerusalem, Israel. And I'll be telling you a lot more about all of this. And the Wailing Wall, you know, we'll do everything that you want to do when you get to Israel. And then, October 6th, to Haifa, Israel. October 7th, it's back at sea, and you'll be glad to get back at sea and the wonders of the MS Mazdam. October 8th, we go to Rhodes, Greece, one of the most popular islands, Greek islands. And I'll tell you more about these. October 9th, Patmos, Greece, another Greek island. And then yet, October 10th, another Greek island, Crete. Have you ever been to Crete? Have you heard about Crete? We're going there. October 11th. We go to one final stop, the mainland of Greece, and I'd be darned if I can pronounce it. It's Navplion, and I would slaughter it if I tried, so I won't. Then we get another day at sea. Then we are in Naples, Italy, and we get to go visit the city that was buried, Pompeii, the ancient city of Pompeii. The Isle of Capri, and then we end up, and I'm skipping through this very quickly, we end up in Rome, Italy. So I'm telling you, this is going to be the cruise of a lifetime or 10 lifetimes, and it's all on the Mazdam. Now listen, if you're interested in coming along, I'm going to give you the phone numbers right now, and you need to begin calling in the morning at 8 o'clock through 6 o'clock Pacific time. From 8 o'clock in the morning through 6 o'clock Pacific time. Now, don't wait. Do not wait. I warn every year about this, and every year it fills up, and that's it. You know, we get filled up, and that will happen again this year, and this is going to be the cruise of a lifetime. We're going to the pyramids and much more. I also want to see Pompeii. But I'm telling you, trust me on this, you can't wait. You've got to get going now. I know it's a year away, and it's hard to think that far away. But we're doing this very intentionally, early, so that we can get enough of you with us, and so that we don't fill up too early. But inevitably, that's exactly what occurs. It has every single year. So we'll get those numbers on later. I just wanted to get you the information. The incredible, I'm going to call it the terror tour. We touched just about every terror spot in the Mideast, and we're going to Greece and to the pyramids, of course, in Egypt, and the Greek islands, and Italy, and Israel. And so I'm calling it the terror tour. For those who are not afraid to live life a little bit, there's danger in all of life, right? And it hasn't stopped me yet. I've been to communist China. I've been to what is supposed to be non-communist Russia. Ha, 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 ha.
And on that score, by the way, Boris Yeltsin will have his operation, not for a while, because he's not strong enough. The power struggle's going on over there right now. And so there is that. The debate over the debates continues. There is significant trouble in Israel, where the Palestinians seem bent, or the Israelis seem bent on battling each other once again. 7 dead to this hour in continuing battles, and that pretty much covers the news. Now, over the past, what would you guys say, about a week, somebody brought up sleep paralysis. It was like a snowball going downhill. I was unable to stop the calls. Something's going on out there. I've heard of sleep paralysis. I'm rather sure it's been around as long as we have. But this many people experiencing it indicates that something profound is going on. So I was compelled to bow to the audience and say, okay, let's find out about it. Here's the guy who will tell us about it. He is Al Taylor. And as I said, from a very early age, he experienced what he calls death-like night paralysis with extremely lucid dreams. His grandmother called them witch rides. These witch rides progress to actual out-of-body experiences, OBEs, astral projection, whatever you want to call it, flying with the mind to distant places, traveling beyond our physical plane, spirit encounters, psychic insights and healing. He's an engineer, a scientist, and an artist. He relates experiences with great insight and some humor. You've got to have a sense of humor about things, folks. How these paranormal events have impacted his personal growth, relationships, all of this explains how the reader can experience an OBE step by step. Now, I've been scared to death of it. A good friend of mine, as you know, is Daniel Brinkley, who said of Soul Traveler, which is the name of Albert's book, quote, Albert Taylor's adventures into the other dimensions affords us a way to look at life, expand, laugh some, search our soul some, find ways to believe. It's a must read. And that sure does sound like Daniel, doesn't it? So by the way, his engineering background includes work on SDI, a real hardware kind of guy. He was involved in NASA's International Space Station program. This man has a serious background. Presently working in computers, owns a company called Phoenix Computer Systems, and is someplace or another in Southern California right now. Here is Albert Taylor. Albert, are you there?
Yes, Art, I am.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you, and I can't tell you, Albert, you wouldn't believe the calls that I've been getting. Last week sometime toward the end of the week, it began when somebody called about sleep paralysis, and mm-hmm. I couldn't stop the calls.
Wonderful.
Really? Not everybody who feels it, Albert, thinks it's wonderful and great.
Right, I understand that.
Scares the hell out of them, actually.
Yes, very much so.
So I think a good place to begin, somebody called last night and said, well, you have somebody on the other side, mm-hmm. And explain what it is medically. Now, if you go to a doctor, mm-hmm. and you say, doctor, I have this state at night where I wake up, mm-hmm. and I appear to be conscious. I can hear things, I can see things, but I can't move. Doctor, it's terrifying. What's happening to me? What is a doctor probably going to tell you?
Well, since I've already done that, the exact same thing.
You can tell us.
I can tell you what my doctor said.
All right.
And first of all, I had to try to figure out how to tell her. And I started going through my mind before she entered the office, well, doc, you know, I lose control of my body at night, and I thought, no, that sounds like possession.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, doctor, I have concerns about being paralyzed, but that sounds like paranoia. So yeah. I had to figure out how to tell the doctor, and she came in and she examined me and, you know, hit me with a little hammer and things like that, and then finally I got around to it, and I said, you know, doc, at night when I go to sleep, sometime during the middle of the night, I wake up and I feel completely paralyzed, and I'm wondering if there's some type of neurological problem.
Right.
And she smiled, and she looked at me, and she pat me on the back, and she says, that happens to me all the time, and I'm okay, so you must be okay. And that was the end of, that was about the extent of it.
You mean so, she didn't offer up any actual medical explanation?
None at all. None at all.
All right.
But I can say this, that I have heard a lot of medical explanations on it.
What have you heard?
Well, I heard that during the night, there's a chemical that's released in the body that paralyzes the body so that you don't act out your dreams. In other words, if you were dreaming you were, you know, running or something, you don't jump up and run out of the room. That's what I heard.
I've also heard doctors say grand mal seizure.
I think I've heard that.
And then I've heard sleep apnea. You know, that you, I think it's where you you can sometimes skip heartbeats or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm. Stop breathing for a few seconds.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. You know, and people who snore a lot, that sort of thing.
Right.
So I've heard all those medical explanations, and I'm sure that's what a doctor would have to say. And so
right.
Somebody
right.
last night said, well, why don't you have a doctor on? Well, that's what a doctor is going to say at best. I wonder if the truth is that they don't really exactly know.
I think that is exactly it. And, you know, when you talk about night paralysis, you're only talking about the tip of the iceberg, because that's just the beginning.
Oh, I know.
See, the doctors, they may be able to try to explain away why a person is paralyzed in the middle of the night, but then as the OBE continues, or out-of-body experience continues, they can't explain what's going on after that.
Well,
they can't explain to me why I can go to places that I've never been physically and identify them and list what's going on there with 100% accuracy.
When did this sleep paralysis begin for you?
Well, it started when I was about 5 years old. And see, my family is from the South,
mm-hmm.
and in the South they have a lot of superstitions. I'm from Los Angeles myself.
You mean the South of California, or?
I'm sorry. Back in New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans.
Yeah, right. Way back in the South.
Right.
And my grandmother, she had the paralysis also, and so did her mother.
Oh.
And there was the superstition was that the witches would come and ride you at night, and that's why you felt paralyzed.
The witches would come
out. Yeah, the witches are riding you. So needless to say, I would wake up in the middle of the night and go running into my grandmother's room for comfort. And I would say, Grandma, I couldn't move last night and I felt paralyzed. And she'd pat me on the head and said, that's okay, the witches were riding you last night.
Albert, how did it happen? In other words, were you, I've had so many people describe it to me here on the radio, were you awake, conscious, or in some middle ground, or not conscious, or when this would occur?
I would say I was almost in a super conscious state where I was very, very much alert, very, very much aware that I was laying in my bed. I could see the room very clearly, and I wear glasses, so that is an interesting fact, because the room should have been blurry if I was just looking out of my normal eyes.
Interesting.
And I could hear perfectly anything that was going on in the room.
All your senses, all your other senses, even the sense of smell, everything normal. But
everything normal. And that's what's so terrifying about it, because you actually feel as if there's something wrong with you, because you feel like you're normal except you can't move your body, and it's scary. Another thing that occurs during the paralysis that people have problems with is you feel like you can't breathe either.
Oh.
So you have shallow breath.
Oh, that's a panic situation.
Yeah, right. You begin to panic. You also, sometimes people describe it as the heavies. So you feel like your chest is very, very heavy, or like something is pushing you down into the bed.
But that's almost the symptom of a heart attack, isn't it?
No, because it's not painful in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, the people who have heart attacks will say it feels like there's a, you know, a fist pressing in on their chest.
Right, but that sounds painful to me. I'm not talking about a painful heaviness. I'm just talking about extreme gravity all around.
All right.
Not just in your chest.
Everywhere.
Yes,
your whole
exactly.
body.
Exactly. Like you're going through 2 or 3 G's.
Yeah, I hear you.
That type of, like, acceleration.
All right.
A lot of other times during the paralysis, people feel like they're falling backwards or falling through the bed. And sometimes that causes people to catch themselves and actually wake up out of this paralysis.
In a start. Kind of
exactly.
Yeah. That's happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh yes, that has happened.
I would imagine. You know, I've been touring all up and down California on a book tour, and I ask this question all the time. The first thing I ask is, has anyone felt paralyzed at night? And you would be surprised that I would say at least 40% of the audience raise their hands.
No, I wouldn't.
So it happens a lot.
Okay, there's something that I want to ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was shocked, I mean really shocked, at the
mm-hmm.
number of calls that I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suppose this has been going on forever, but arguably, something seems to be going on now where there is more of this paralysis business.
Right.
Are you sensing that?
Yes, definitely. Now, I think it may be one of two reasons. The first reason is that now we're in a new age, as we call it, and we've moved from an occult type of category, which was very frightening to people and had airs of the devil or demon worship, to new age, which is real rosy and nice, and people can come out of the closet, so to speak, and talk about these things that are happening to them more freely. So that may be one reason.
You think it's just because people are not afraid to talk about it?
Exactly.
Suddenly?
I found that in my own family. Once I started writing my book, Soul Traveler, people in my own family that I've known all my life were now starting to come to me and tell me, you know, I've had these experiences, but I didn't want to tell anyone.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to start to talk about what this really is. So stay right there for a moment. We'll be back to you. My guest is Al Taylor. The book, Soul Traveler. The website connection on my web right now. Go check it out. www.artbell.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996. Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Sleep paralysis. It may be a bit more than you imagine. My guest is Albert Taylor. Al Taylor. He wrote Soul Traveler. That may give you a hint about where we may be going. And we'll get back to him in a moment.
Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Back now to Al. Well, I don't know. Should we call you Albert or Al?
Al. That's fine.
Al, it shall be then. All right, Al. So many people have shared this experience with you, and I have felt, Al, the beginnings of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a kind of a control freak, and it scared the hell out of me. And when I have felt it, I have always fought it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'm fighting for my life,
mm-hmm.
and it goes away.
Exactly.
Now, I got some other calls. Then the other calls started coming, and people said, hey, look, I put my hand down, or my hand felt like it was falling through the bed,
mm-hmm.
and others have said, I felt myself rise out of my body. And these are people who let it go.
Right.
And I don't know if I could ever do that. I mean, that's really something, it's like putting trust somewhere, and I don't know if I could do that.
Well, the biggest thing, Art, that I found is fear.
Yeah.
Have fear of the unknown.
Sure.
And because it feels very discomforting, I mean, with the breathing, the paralysis, and all of that, you know, that's what makes people hold on.
You're darn
but
right.
I can tell you that through the experiences that I've had, and I also teach this down at the Learning Light Foundation in Anaheim.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. I teach a weekly class every Thursday at 1212 Lincoln Boulevard. But what I found out is that once you first of all find out what it is, And then I've worked with a lot of people. I've taught this to hundreds of people. They not only stop dreading this paralysis, but they actually start looking forward to it. Become enthusiastic about it, hoping they have it tonight.
Really?
And you know what's interesting about this is that it has nothing to do with your age. I mean, my 6-year-old son experiences it, and my 74-year-old mother experiences it. And what's interesting about my 74-year-old mother, she's had this paralysis practically all her life too, but only about 4 years ago I shared with her what was going on, and she used some of the techniques that I listed in my book, and the very first time she tried it, she had an out-of-body experience, a wonderful one.
All right, let's start with this. Are there any dangers?
Okay, that's a great question that I get all the time, and they break it down to this. They say, can anything happen to me? While I'm out, can someone come over and take over my body? And the answer to that is no.
Well, I was thinking more like, might I die?
No. It has, you know, and see, this is what a lot of people don't know, is that 99% of us have out-of-body experiences every night, but only 20% of us remember.
Yeah, but Al, a lot of people also die in their sleep.
That's true. But everybody has an out-of-body experience, but, you know, I mean, if you take 100 people at night, and 100 people come back to the room, there's very few chances of anybody being dead at that time. I mean, everybody experiences, but only a few remember it. And what I've done with my classes and my techniques is I've increased it to about 60%. So all you're doing is remembering what you do normally at night. And it's a very natural, it's not something new that you're stepping into a new area. It's just becoming aware of something you already do.
All right.
It's like breathing. You already breathe. Now that you become aware of it, doesn't mean you're going to die.
All right, but take me, for example. I work all night long, mm-hmm. and I sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Really no different than my opposite counterpart, just sleeping at different parts of the day. And when I go to sleep, I want to sleep. And frankly, sometimes when I've had very vivid dreams, I wake up feeling as though I am not rested. In other words, I like to go to sleep and just good night, goodbye, slice of death, see you if I wake up,
mm-hmm.
and I wake up feeling good and rested and all the rest of it. But if I have a vivid dream, it's like I've been working.
Okay, the difference between vivid dreams and the OBE experiences is simply this, and this is why people say, well, how do you wake up in the morning refreshed if you're doing all this traveling and flying at night?
That's my question.
The difference is when you dream, you are definitely not out of your body. Your body moves and turns with your experiences and your thoughts and your dreams. But when you're OBE, or out of body, this is why I tell people, pick a comfortable spot. Make sure that you're very comfortable, because if you're out for an hour or so, your body does not move at all. And that's why I wrote an article in a magazine titled, My Body Sleeps, But I Do Not.
All right,
because that's exactly what happens.
The title,
your body will sleep.
The title of your book is Soul Traveler.
Correct.
So let's stop and let's ask a little bit about the nature of what is, Albert, the soul?
What is the soul?
Yes, sir.
That's a very profound question.
Mm.
I could go into a lot of theology, metaphysics, but to simply put it, the reason I call my book Soul Traveler is because I believe that a lot of people say, well, I have a soul. Well, I don't believe it's something that you keep in your pocket or it's inside your body floating around somewhere. I believe that we are soul. We are it, what we claim to have. And that's what I believe leaves the body. Now, some people may say it's the spirit. Well, that's the same thing to me, because what it is what you are. It's your pure consciousness, and that's what I call the soul. And I believe that the soul travels. Well, my soul does travel, so that's why I named it Soul Traveler.
Is it the same immortal soul?
Yes.
That we talk of in various religions around the world? That is the soul?
Yes, and it will go on and on and on.
And that is what leaves your body?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And what I tell people, see, a lot of wonderful things can happen from having out-of-body experiences. First of all, in 1993, I had a profound OBE, which totally removed the fear of death. I mean, completely. I do not fear death in any way, shape, or form.
Why?
I'm a member of International Association of Near-Death Studies, and when I had this experience, this OBE experience, suddenly I felt as if I'm finally home. Like, that is my natural state, and this, in the physical body, is a very, very temporary state.
Oh,
all of a sudden, I understood who I really was, and I understood that not only would I survive death, but I would continue consciously to experience another reality, so to speak. And this is what I tell people. If you travel out of body, that's as dead as you're ever going to get. That's what it feels like. It matches the same experiences that my colleagues in, who have had near-death experiences. It is exactly like that. That's as dead as you'll ever get.
All right,
so
well,
if that's it, then there's nothing to be afraid of.
I interviewed Danyon Brinkley.
Mm-hmm.
He describes an extremely vivid near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if you could call what he had near-death. It seemed like it was death.
Mm-hmm.
And so he validates what you're saying, or you're validating what he says.
Exactly.
What did you, can you tell us, where did you go? What did you determine? What did you feel and see? And was it a material-like world or an esoteric? Tell me.
Okay, in the beginning, I would just rise up out of the body, and I would float by the ceiling. Or I would float down to the floor and go through my house, through the different rooms. And then I started getting braver and braver, because at first I didn't know what was going on.
But then I would think
about a person
that I knew,
and I would go to their house
in the beginning.
That was a physical.
All right, world. But I've got to pin it down to something I understand. When you were out of your body,
mm-hmm.
do you see things still?
Oh, definitely.
Do you perceive that you have a body?
You perceive that you have what's called, in some cases, an astral body, or like Robert Monroe used to call it, the second body. And you actually can see hands, but they do not look exactly like the hands of your physical body. They're kind of transparent. The hand is a little bit larger than your normal hand. It glows slightly, luminescent. This body that you're in, it is just as maneuverable, and you can feel and touch fabric just like you could in the physical. Only thing is you can touch it, or you can penetrate through it, like walls, fabric, anything. You can touch it, or you can penetrate through it.
Well, when you say you can touch it,
mm-hmm.
Let's say I were to go over to my couch and
mm-hmm.
touch my couch now in the physical world,
mm-hmm.
I will see a depression in the couch when I touch it, yes?
You're right, correct.
All right. In astral travel, if I touch, you say I can touch things.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to touch that couch, would I see a depression?
I would say no, but you would feel almost every fiber of the couch. More than you would with your physical hand.
Wow.
Now, and with Robert Monroe, he has actually been out of body and has pinched someone and left a physical bruise on that person.
Really?
That is very rare, very rare. But most people just feel the surface and aren't able to affect it, like move objects and things like that while OBE.
Robert Monroe is able to pinch a lot of
yes,
people.
Yes, and in his book, I believe it was his first one, where he described how he thought he did this out of body, but then after he returned, he called the person up, and they confirmed that he actually did that, and then he saw the person later, and they had a bruise exactly where he pinched the person.
Is there any limit to where one may travel?
No, there isn't. You can go anywhere you want, physical or non-physical realities. There aren't any limits. The only limits are your own fears and limitations.
Then you should be able to prove it, then. In other words, if you can go to Egypt or
mm-hmm.
Tokyo or, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
Or even off-planet, then you should be able to observe something in that state
mm-hmm.
that could then be verified. Is that possible?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And it's happened, and I've done that numerous times. I've gone to friends' houses that I've never been physically and come back and written about it in detail, and some of that is in my book, and then call them up and started telling them what their place looked like. Not only what the interior of their apartment looked like, but what the views were outside the windows, what the neighborhood looked like, because I was flying around the neighborhood. Sounds, and I gotta tell you, Art, 6 years ago, if you would have told me this, I would have thought you were nuts. I didn't just buy into this at all. I was very, very skeptical to this whole thing. But after proving it to myself, because basically that's all I wanted to do. I wanted to find out what was happening with me.
Naturally.
But when I started doing it and proving it to myself, then, and testing it out, because I'm a researcher.
I understand. You were in the hard sciences. I mean,
exactly.
Here's a guy who was in NASA,
exactly.
Working with NASA and SDI and all the rest of that.
Exactly, and I've had a secret clearance for the last 20 years.
I know. You actually, it says here, performed development engineering on top secret programs like
mm-hmm.
the F-117 Stealth.
Exactly.
Now, how in God's name do you get from this kind of a background to soul traveler?
Well, like I said, it's been happening to me since I was 5 years old. I didn't go out to get to have these experiences. They came to me. And all I wanted to do was understand what was going on. Since it was happening without my control at that time, I just wanted to know, I wanted to make sure it wasn't some type of neurological defect or some type of psychological problem, schizophrenia or something like that. So then I started exploring it, and I only explored it as a researcher. I just wanted to find out, measure it, and convince myself.
You know,
Danyon
did exactly the same thing. Before he began to really investigate, he went to every doctor in sight, had every test in sight performed, tried to ensure there was no physical malady whatsoever, and once he was finally satisfied, then he began to explore.
Exactly. And that's what I say. You know, skepticism is very healthy. I don't tell people that I'm here to convince you, because I'm just going to give you some tools that you can go out and find out for yourself. Then you come back and say, oh my God, this is real.
How sure are you it's real? In other words, how sure are you that it is not simply a dream state, the moving electrified synapses of your brain clicking away while you sleep? How do you know it's not that?
How sure am I?
Yes.
I would say 110%. That's how sure I am.
How long?
I don't doubt it at all, not just because of floating out of the body, but I have had so many interesting experiences. See, all of this caught me by surprise, and we've only scraped the surface of what really happens while you're OBE.
Right.
You know, there's things that, like spirit encounters, things like that, that were, to me at the time, frightening. I mean, and it was happening every night, sometimes three times a night. And after a period of time, where it's been years now, you start to believe if you experience this several times a week.
Are you able to discern, when you're out of body, are you able to discern between that which you observe in the physical world and, say, an encounter with another traveler?
Oh, definitely. You know, this is what's interesting about traveling OBE, because, see, as you touched on it before, you're in the spirit body or the soul body, and you have far more awareness than you do right now in the physical body. You're open to a lot of things, and you understand a lot of things, and there's some things that you just know. It's like almost like tapping into, like Dr. Joseph Murphy called it a universal consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's like what psychics do. They just know things, and they're not worried about convincing anybody else, because they're very sure inside. And that's what happens while you're OBE. It's almost as if your consciousness opens up, and you just understand a lot of things that would baffle you in the physical.
Do you remember a movie called Somewhere in Time?
Was that the Jack the Ripper one?
No.
No, Somewhere in Time.
Christopher Reeves. It was a story. It was really a love story, and it was a story about travel in time, and it was about this man who fell in love with this image of a woman, and I mean, sick love, just absolutely in love, and he wanted to be with her, so. He isolated himself in a hotel room and took away every object that would be reminiscent of the 20th century.
Was Jane Seymour in this?
Yes, sir.
I remember.
All right, then you know where I'm going.
Yes.
Is what was depicted in that motion picture, now he traveled in time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. As a matter of fact, time only exists in the physical plane. There is no time when you're out of body. You can have an experience that feels like 3 hours and may only happen in 5 minutes.
Time is a function of the physical world.
Correct. And see, this is a warning I give people, and I don't give a lot of warnings about this, but one of the warnings I do give is that because it's very real, it's not a figment of your imagination, especially if you go forward in time, you go forward in time and you may see something and something you may not like. And when you come back to the physical, you'll have to deal with it. And you may even see this particular thing begin to manifest. So that's why I tell people, very careful. Because once you know, you will have to live with it.
What then are we able to discern about the nature of time? In other words, if you go forward in time and see something that is going to occur and then you see it begin to manifest, can you change it?
I would say in some cases you can. But in other cases, because we're not going through life or this existence on Earth unguided. We are all here. We are all here for lessons. And some experiences have to occur for us to gain or to evolve as individual spirits. So there's some things that you're not going to be able to change. And there's and it goes into a lot of philosophy about karma and things like that. But there are some things that are going to manifest. Some things you can change. But there are some things that you can't, and you will have to deal with them and accept them.
Interesting. I'm not... It confuses me then about the nature of time. In other words, are things predestined? Or you're saying sometimes they
well,
are.
Yes, sometimes. Some things have to occur. Not only do they have to occur, you agreed to let them occur, or you agreed to have this experience. So, because we're not just talking about the individual, and I want to go into this. When you get out of body, you'll find some, in Catholic religions, they'll call them guardian angels. In metaphysical circles, they'll call them guides. So these guides or guardian angels are kind of guiding you through experiences that you agreed to have prior to coming here.
What are
so these things are going to manifest.
What are these entities?
Well, like I said, depending on your beliefs, and if you're, you know, your religious beliefs, you may call them angels. You may call them friendly guardian spirits. In metaphysical circles, they'll call them guides, masters, helpers.
What do you call them?
I call them guides. The thing is that a rose by any other name still smells as sweet, and they still are going to perform the same job they would no matter what you call them. And their job is for your higher good. And it's not something they picked out. It's something that they're helping you to accomplish that you agreed to do.
Do you
so
believe
guiding
that,
you through it.
Do you believe that we lead successive physical lifetimes?
You mean reincarnation?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I didn't believe this 6 years ago. I didn't even believe it 4 years ago. But definitely, through the out-of-body experience and the other non-physical realities that I have experienced, it has slowly opened my mind to this, opened my understanding to what we really are. We're timeless. And which is wonderful, because if you think about it, to me, life without reincarnation is like a stage play with only one act. There just isn't enough time for character development.
That's a great line. All right. Listen, Al, relax. Take it easy. We'll come back and open up after the top of the hour.
Great.
All right. My guest is Albert Taylor, Al Taylor. He has authored a book called Soul Traveler. He also has a web page. If you would like to see his webpage, and you're a computer type, we've got a link up for you tonight. Simply go on up to www.artbell.com and jump right across. You'll see it right there at the top.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Worldwide humiliation.
Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 25th, 1996.
Do you fear a little slice of death every night? Well, you asked for it, so here it is. We're discussing sleep paralysis. My guest is Al Taylor. He's written a book called Soul Traveler. That gives you an idea of where we're going and where you may be going. He had it as a youngster. This man was an engineer. He worked on SDI. He worked on the stealth program. He runs a computer company. Not a likely candidate to write a book like Soul Traveler. So if you want to find out what sleep paralysis, that little slice of death, is all about, stay right here. We'll get back to Al Taylor in just a moment.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I argue with people about disclosure time and time again. I've told them governments are not going to come out willingly to tell us. It's going to happen by a mistake. It's going to happen by a whistleblower, but it's not going to be an organized thing. Governments won't do that. And the reason why they won't do it is because they do not want us to know. They think that they'll lose control of us if we know. If you actually truly believe that we were being visited by extraterrestrials and you had categorical proof that it was happening, do you think you would listen to some of the bull that government throws out all the time? Absolutely not. You'd look toward the heavens, you'd say there's got to be a better way, and you would start doing your own thing. And you would forget all about government control and everything else. So the bottom line is, government will never ever disclose the true facts of UFOs.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast Insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Even though I think the middle class is being eroded away because most people are doing relatively okay, we haven't seen that balance of power shift yet. If that gets higher, I think we got a real problem.
I don't see governments being supportive of this kind of rising up of people asserting their frustrations. We're looking at a very historic time beginning to emerge right now.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think. As a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Back to Al Taylor, who wrote Soul Traveler. It's all about this sleep paralysis thing, but so much more. And Albert, I'm going to hit you with the hard stuff first. Can I do that?
Sure.
Here it comes. It might as well dispense with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Art. Can Albert Taylor tell the difference of between good and bad guides? Sounds like he has... No, let me finish. Sounds like he's bought into the OBE so much, he's no longer an objective observer or researcher, guides, helpers, watchers, or whatever you call them, could be part of the end time deception. Sounds like he no longer can tell the difference. Signed, Bob. And this, of course, is the religious angle.
Ah.
And they see you as a new wavy kind of touchy-feely person. Mm-hmm. And they see you possibly as, you know, on the dark side.
Mm.
Now, how do you answer that?
Well, all I can say is that I'm a middle of the road type of person. Like I said, I'm a researcher. I do numerous tests. I don't jump to conclusions, and I have absolutely no information that suggests that something is negative going on. If I did, I would definitely pay attention to it. But as it stands right at this moment, out of all the experiences I've had, and I've had hundreds, I have absolutely no information showing that something negative is going on.
Do you remember the movie Flatliners?
Yes.
They induced clinical death
mm-hmm.
to determine what was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That occurs naturally every day. People with heart attacks, strokes, you know, near death, right?
Right.
When they leave their body, or when they left their body in those clinical experiments, which could be done in the real world, of course, would they be going through the same process that you go through when you leave your body in soul travel?
Not exactly. That would be more like, if you could do that, or if someone would do that, that would be more like a controlled near-death experience. And see, the near-death experience, you don't have a lot of options on where to go. Generally, you come out of the body because of a trauma or an accident to the body, or if you want to stop the heart. And you may hover around the body for a few minutes. You may even move around in different locations, but eventually you're drawn into a tunnel, or you go and transition to a non-physical reality and have experiences with the light,
yes,
or Jesus, or whatever, depending on your beliefs, whatever type of entity or angelic being that might be there.
But you
sometimes you have experiences with dead relatives.
Yeah, but you seem to allude to the fact that not as a norm, but that in out of body, you can go to these same locations.
Yeah, the thing is during the near-death experience, you're drawn there. During the out-of-body experience, you choose to go there, which is a big difference.
In other words, you choose to go there,
and you can choose to come back whenever you want.
I see.
You have far more control.
All right. Let's say that I'm, and this is going to be the majority of the audience, all right,
mm-hmm.
Albert? I'm interested. I have this sleep paralysis. It's been occurring. It's been bothering me. It's been scaring the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide to take your advice. And I come to you, Albert, and I say, all right, look, I'm willing to give it a try. It's been scaring me. This sounds interesting. How do I do it?
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say, you know, in my book, in chapter 14, I dedicated the whole entire chapter on how to do it. And I also dedicate a portion of the chapter on how to induce the paralysis in case you don't, you know, you want to make it happen, which a lot of people, once they find out what it is, they do. But I want to explain what the paralysis is and what it is not. First of all, it's not a defect. It's not neurological problems or something like that, or breathing problems. What it is right now, as we're awake in the physical world, our spirit and our body are very tightly connected. But during sleep, when we go to sleep, the body falls asleep, and as it does, it kind of releases its grip on the spirit. But the spirit hasn't moved anywhere, or the astral form hasn't moved anywhere, your consciousness.
It just relaxes.
You're disconnected from the physical, but you haven't transitioned from the body. So you feel as if, I can't move. But you're very, very aware. Now, the thing you have to do is that you go from trying to move the physical body to moving the spiritual body or astral form. And once you make that transition, then all you have to do is think about and actually say this in your consciousness or in your mind, I want to float upward. And sometimes, well, when you do that, generally you begin to rise up out of the body. But sometimes, without you even requesting it, you begin to rise up out of the body.
Now, that would be scary.
Yeah, well, this is what got me. I was listening to you, Art, and here you are conducting a tour to Jerusalem.
That's right.
And you're telling me this is scary?
Well,
I think that's kind of funny.
I'm an adventuresome person, but I have not yet tried it OBE.
I would rather do this than take on real terrorists or take a risk. I feel a lot safer doing this than going to Jerusalem.
Well, I wouldn't say Jerusalem would be a good place to go this morning. not this morning. So you will. That's the beginning stage. You can actually just feel yourself leaving your body, and you can do this simply by, when this paralysis sets in, consciously wishing it to be so.
Well, the first thing you have to do, you'll be at this fork in the road where you'll want to panic or fearful thoughts.
That's right.
And want to come back and want to take a deep breath.
That's right.
And this takes practice and is very difficult. You just have to let go. And that's hard, because when you start letting go, physical sensations like breathing and being aware of the room begin to slip away, almost like a mini death.
Oh, that is scary.
It's more discomforting than anything. But once you transition that period, all of a sudden you're totally disconnected, and you feel free, light, and you have a whole new awareness of your being.
It
feels wonderful.
What are the physical sensations? For example, once you're free, once you're out, are you still breathing?
No. Well, you can. You know, you don't lose complete contact with the physical body. It's not like you're detached completely and you have no awareness of it. You're still very much connected. You can sense how you're breathing, you can sense how you're doing, that type of thing. But no, you don't breathe in the astral form. You can think that you are, but you're not breathing in the astral form.
All right.
I wanted to tell you kind of just some of the things that you will experience during the paralysis.
All right.
A lot of people hear a buzzing sound.
Yes,
like
yes.
Bees,
yes, yes, yes.
Like electrical sound.
Absolutely.
You may hear a roaring wind, like there's a loud, loud noise going on inside of your head.
What is that, the beginning of the paralysis?
That's the beginning of the disconnection process. Or you may hear a whistle or a tone, high-pitched tone.
Right.
Or you may see sparks of light shoot across your eyes, like in front of your vision.
And these are just warnings that...
warnings is not a good word.
Not a good word, all right.
These are indications.
Indications.
Or road signs, so to speak, that you're approaching a disconnection point.
And this is the point, believe me, where most of us...
Panic. And become fearful, and then want to reconnect, and most of us do.
That's right.
And because we don't know what's beyond, we generally, a lot of us don't get to experience that. But once you do... You definitely look forward to the experience. You relish it, as a matter of fact.
All right, let's back up just a little, because let's ground this. Suppose I bought into what you're saying right now, and I wanted to induce paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
How would I do that?
Okay, the best way. Now, I listed in my book, it's called the Interrupted Sleep Technique. And what I did is I tried a host of different techniques. Some of them worked, some of them moderately worked, some of them didn't work at all. But what I found out about, and I call it the IST. What I found out about the IST, if you do it correctly, like I listed in my book in chapter 14, it will work approximately, for the average person, about 8 out of 10 times, which is phenomenal.
It is.
And what that is, and a lot of people will be able to relate to this because they do it without knowing. What you do is you go to sleep about maybe 10 o'clock at night, and you set your alarm to wake up about 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And when your alarm goes off, you get out of bed. You don't just cut off the alarm and lay there. You get out of bed and go watch television, read a book.
How about listening to my program for a while?
Well, that's fine.
It's going to be at that time of the morning.
As long as you don't put them to sleep. No.
All right.
But that's fine. You know, as long as you stay up for 2 hours. But don't eat. You can drink water. Don't eat anything, because the body uses energy to process food. So then when you go back to sleep about maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock, don't do this on the day you don't have to go to work.
Right.
And when you lay down, then just do whatever. There's a numerous visual relaxation techniques you can do. I list several in my book. But basically what you want to do is just try to relax every muscle in your body. You start one at a time from the top of your head and just move down your body all the way to your feet until you've relaxed.
Oh, I know about that. I've had a lot of sleep troubles, Albert, and one way to get to sleep, I found, is to close your eyes, if nothing else works, think of your finger, relax your finger, mm-hmm. then relax the rest of your fingers, exactly. one at a time, then relax your arm, and consciously work. I've done that to get
exactly.
to sleep.
See, that works, and what happens is while you're going through this process and you're just laying there, don't move under any circumstances, try not to move. What will happen is, and this is really phenomenal, your body will fall asleep, but your consciousness will stay wide awake, and suddenly you'll find yourself in that paralysis state. Now, you may even hear your body snoring, and that's when you really become aware that you're something a little different than the body.
Oh, that's weird. You may hear yourself snoring.
You're not your body. You just use your body like you would use school clothes.
Oh, yeah. If you hear yourself snoring and you're conscious, mm-hmm. I would say there's been some sort of separation.
Definitely. Definitely.
But you're still not really at that point out of your body. You're just sort of separated from your physical self.
Correct. And you're still occupying the same space as your physical body. But now it's time, once you disconnect from the physical, then it's time to switch over your thinking and focus your thoughts on moving the astral form, or the second body, as Robert Monroe would call it.
I was lucky to have interviewed Robert before he died.
Mm.
And we had a long discussion about the different levels, dimensional or different levels of hierarchy. Do you agree with that aspect of his?
100%.
You do?
I'm a member of the Monroe Institute's Voyager program.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, and I speak with Laurie Monroe quite a bit. Definitely. Robert Monroe, to me, was my mentor, even though I never got a chance to meet him. He died 2 months before my book was finished.
Oh.
I had planned on sending it to him. I was having these experiences, and they were frightening me. I mean, I was so afraid the first time I had the experience that I jumped up out of the bed and I turned on all the lights in the house.
I understand that reaction, yes.
I was scared. But when I started reading Robert's books, I started finding things in there that were happening to him that were happening to me. And that was a validation for me. Because mm-hmm. then I realized, wow, it's not just me. It's not me having some kind of defect or something's wrong with me. Here's someone else talking about the exact same thing. And that's why I wanted to write my book in very simple terms, so anybody could understand something that was happening to them. Not to convince them that I'm having OBEs, but to say that you too are having them and you may not even know it.
Do you have any idea, or would you even take a guess, at why so many people suddenly are beginning to have this? Now, you mentioned earlier, well, more people are willing to talk about it now. Do you really think
coming out of the closet theory?
Yeah, coming out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
But is it possible that something else, something bigger, is going on?
Well, I would say yes. I would say that we, as a race of humans, are becoming more spiritual. We are waking up to the reality of what we really are and what the capabilities of the soul is. And they say New Age. Yes, it is a New Age. It's almost like a tidal wave. And we all are becoming more evolved, and we're all having more and more of these type of experiences. Not just out-of-body experiences, but clairvoyance, clairaudience, and spirit encounters, psychic healing, where you're able to heal the body. Deepak Chopra wrote about that. So we're all kind of evolving together, and now these things are starting to manifest more and more often.
Have you done any, your background is in science.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, scientists like to prove things. They
mm-hmm.
like repeatability.
Yes.
And with regard to OBE, how do you prove it? What's your best evidence for those who are standing back right now and saying, oh, come on?
Well, my best evidence is describing physical places that I have never been physically, and describing them not with just approximate detail or 60% detail, but 100% detail, and doing it over and over again. That, to me, no matter what you want to call it, something is occurring.
You make claims that sound like those made by those who claim to be able to do remote viewing. Is there a relationship?
Okay, remote viewing is a little bit different from astral traveling or having an OBE. Remote viewing is almost like, if you were to view a room, it's almost like you are a camera up in the corner of the room or in a particular fixed location where you can view the room. having an OBE is like physically being there, where you can move around the room.
Like,
you feel like you're walking or floating or flying, or you can touch objects. You
actually
feel as if you're there.
Al, hang tight. We'll be right back. It's the bottom of the hour. We're discussing sleep paralysis and free travel. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996. Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
My guest is Al Taylor. His book is Soul Traveler. We'll find out how to get it here shortly. We'll give out the 800 number again. Plus, he's got a web page. You can get to it by going to mine, hopping to his. That's www.artbell.com. You'll see it right up there at the top. Want to remind the audience, tomorrow night, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., the son of Major Jesse Marcel, who put his hands on Roswell Park. You don't want to miss that. In a moment, back to Al Taylor and a fascinating program. It's all about sleep paralysis and what it really is.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1990.
All right, we're going to go into a pretty rough area here for a moment, and I don't know where it's going to go, but let's find out. Al, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here's a fax from somebody that I want to read, and then I want to follow it. Dear Art, please ask Mr. Taylor if in his travels he's observed or gained knowledge of things relating to what I call, Art Bell calls, the quickening. We've had a lot of people on this program in the past talk about earth changes, disastrous things that are yet to come, and that there may be a future of rather immediate disruption, Al, some pretty awful things coming. And you said it was the single warning that you give people. If you travel to the future, you may see something you don't like at all.
Right.
And that would be disturbing. And and so since you have done this so carefully, what can you, if you can, tell us about what is to come?
See, that I haven't done as far as what I did see had to do with my life. I belong to the International Association of Near-Death Studies, like I mentioned before, which is IANS. And if you've read a lot of books by the people, Betty Eady, Kimberly Clark Sharp, Hashihanta, and a few other people, you'll read that a lot of people have near-death and then come back psychic. And the out-of-body experiences I've had aren't quite like that. But see, what I notice is that a lot of these people dwell on doom and gloom, and they predict all these catastrophes and things like that. And me personally, I don't see any reason to tell a person that horrible things are going to happen unless you can do something about it. I'm not into predicting doom and gloom. I do say that we need to straighten up.
Yeah, but see, that sounds a little like you know these things, and your attitude is, why tell people and put them in a state of depression?
I wouldn't say anything unless there was something you could do about it. It's like, if I know you're going to die tomorrow, why would I tell you that? Unless you could prevent it. Otherwise, I'm just going to instill fear, and you're going to have to live the next 24 hours in fear. Why would I do that to you? I wouldn't do that to you.
Well, if I read between the lines of that answer, and I don't have to read too hard, I'm not sure I like what I hear.
Well, I can say this. I know, and I mean, it doesn't take a psychic person to realize what we're doing to the environment and to our world and our planet and things like that. And we need to clean up our act in a lot of ways. And a lot of it is environmental and how we treat Mother Earth. So I can tell you, if we progress on the path that we've gone, it's inevitable that something disastrous is going to occur. Mm. But I have not seen this psychically. Because like I said, all the experiences I've seen in the future, and I don't want to do that anymore. I don't do that because I don't want to do that to myself. But what I can say is that you know, psychically, what I did see had to do with my own personal life, which actually manifested, and I had to deal with it. So having to deal with it, which was very difficult for me, that's why I tell people, just be prepared, because you may not see what's going to happen in Russia. You may see what's going to happen right in your own home.
All right.
That's harder to deal with than what may be happening over on the other side of the world.
Let's keep it close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Could you view your own death?
I would say yes.
Would you?
Could. I don't think there are any limitations.
Would you?
Would I view my own death?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not afraid of death, so that really doesn't bother me. I just don't want to die in a horrible way, because I know that death is just a transition. I know that I will be consciously awake and aware, even more so than I am now. So that doesn't scare me as far as death is concerned. I don't want to be mutilated and die in a horrible car accident.
Naturally.
You know, but it doesn't scare me at all. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in an IONS meeting recently, and there were a bunch of, you know, these people who've had near-death experience who were psychic, and they were saying there's going to be volcanic eruptions, there's going to be tidal waves, earthquakes, and all that. And I raised my hand, and I said, excuse me, can I say something? And they said, sure, Al. And I said, you know, the worst thing that could possibly ever happen to us is that we all end up in a permanent out-of-body state. And that's not really that bad. So that's how I look at it. It doesn't matter what happens, you're still going to survive.
No, I do understand what you're saying, but there are a lot of people out there who nevertheless will look at it in a different way, in not as quite an esoteric manner. Well, they don't have the knowledge you have right now.
Right, it's fear of the unknown. They think death is final.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to think after death. I'm not going to exist. If you don't believe in, you know, spirit, you think that it's over. I won't be able to experience life anymore.
But in a lot of ways, it is. Let me challenge that.
Depends on if you believe in reincarnation.
Okay,
too.
Right, exactly. That's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Let us say that reincarnation, for the sake of the following discussion, is an absolute fact. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let us say that I have lived before.
Mm-hmm.
I have no conscious recollection of living before.
Right.
So that which came before me is, in essence, dead. If the consciousnesses that came prior to me are not able to manifest themselves and think consciously or be aware, I don't know how we define what that is. I'm aware. Then those prior lives
are of no use.
I wouldn't say of no use, because you know, I understand karma, but they are not conscious in the sense that we experience consciousness now. Certainly, I have no conscious recollection of memories from a prior life,
and that's without doing anything. But there are past life regressions and hypnotherapy that you can draw up these memories.
I know.
And these things are there. And this is what I tell people. How many times have you had a dream where you didn't remember until days after you actually had the dream, because something happened that day? And then all of a sudden it came and you said, oh, I dreamt about this. Well, first of all, that memory of that dream was somewhere. You didn't have conscious recall of it, but it was there.
Yeah,
so something triggered it. just like if you really seek and you do hypnosis or meditation or things like that, you can trigger these memories. And to me, like I said, I didn't believe any of this until it actually happened, and then I was astounded at the actual capability to recall memories that Albert Taylor has never experienced.
Where have you gone?
Where have I gone as far as memories or regression?
No. As far as out of body is concerned.
Oh, okay. Beyond the physical, while flying around, this was something that's really interesting that happened. Is I felt drawn to this, and I will call it a state of consciousness rather than a place, because it's really a state of consciousness, where I felt pulled there. So after I arrived at this place, and I call it a meeting place because I have no other name for it, and I would say there were a multitude of beings, entities. I didn't know exactly what they were. My aunt passed away in Cedars-Sinai Hospital of cancer in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this being, entity, whatever you want to call it, that resembled my aunt dramatically. And I doubted it. I just thought, this can't be her. She died. I was a pallbearer at her funeral. But I could not deny that this person, if anybody looked like her and felt like her, it was her. And I panicked. I thought, I got to get out of here. So I left. This same feeling happened, this same occurrence happened 2 days later, where I was drawn to the same location. I saw the same entity, but this time the entity approached me, and through sharing, and see, you don't talk to each other, you share thought forms. And through sharing these thought forms and consciousness, I began to understand that, first of all, I identified her immediately. And another thing that happened is that I've been afraid of spirits all my life. I'd say I'm a product of Hollywood. So I've seen every horror movie that possibly could exist. But through sharing this experience with my aunt as a deceased entity or whatever, it calmed my fear. And I suddenly identified more with who she was, what was happening to her, and I realized that I'm not very different from her, except I have a place to go back to. I have a body. But in essence, when I die, or when I'm in that state, I'm just like her.
All right, here's one for you to explain.
Mm-hmm.
The other night on my program,
mm-hmm.
a lady called with a very vivid, very horrible story. And the person sending the facts right now is reflecting on that. This lady was attacked. She was attacked in her bed, paralyzed, in a state of a paralyzation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the correct word.
Mm-hmm.
She was certainly paralyzed, and she was attacked by an entity that tried to rape her.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually in bed with her children when this
mm-hmm.
occurred. I mean, it was a very graphic description. And this person writes, Al, I've had many nights of body paralysis. Like you, I'm scared out of my wits when I have them. Now I may be a little calmer, I hope, listening to you. Just a few nights ago, a lady called your show, my show, said she was in her bed with her children, was attacked by something that climbed upon her. Do you think this could have been someone having an OBE and seeking sexual pleasure, or was this demonic?
First of all, I don't believe in demons. But yes, to your first question, it could have been, because you can do that. You can come, matter of fact, you can come to any, first of all, you can go to anyone's bedroom, and you can actually pull them out of body, where they actually feel you tugging on them, and you can cause them to have an OBE.
That's an invasion of privacy.
Well, yeah, it can be. It can be, yes, exactly. But, you know, I hopefully people won't do that. But yes, there aren't any limitations, but you can actually do that. So you can go to another person's, if you have the capability of traveling OBE, you can go to anyone's house, and you can interact with them while they're in the dream state.
Good Lord. Then there is as negative a side to OBE as there is a positive side, isn't there?
Well, only because we as humans have a negative side to us.
Of course we do. But I am surprised to hear you say that. So you could literally do what this entity did to this lady if you were so inclined?
If you had the capability of traveling OBE, yes, you could. But
yikes.
I would say out of all the people that I know who have the capability, because I'm definitely not alone, they aren't focused in that direction at all, And this is something that I tell people, when you're out of body, you don't think the same as we do now. You don't think about the carnal things and material things like you would now. You're thinking a little bit higher, having a little bit higher awareness and consciousness of what you are.
Well, somebody must have been thinking that way, because this is not the only report of this kind of thing occurring.
I read the book Entity also some time ago about the Carlotta Moran experience.
Yes.
Which was horrifying.
Yes.
And I really felt for her. I don't understand what that particular entity was. I would say that that was definitely not an astral traveler. That appeared to be something else. And I haven't had an experience with that type of energy or person or entity. But this is something that I found out, is that when you're OBE, and even when you're not, you're capable of creating thought forms. And as a matter of fact, if you think about something like, say, a lion or a devil or something like that,
right,
you can experience that while OBE. But it doesn't mean that it's a separate thing that's coming to attack you. You may have created it through your own fears. And you can experience it. If you visualize a lion and it bites you while OBE, you will feel the pain only because it's a mental thing that you've accepted. So you can have these experiences, but over practice, over a period of time, you begin to understand that how you create things. And you can, once you understand how you create these experiences, you can control them and not create them.
All right, then, is it not possible, if you were to have such an OBE experience, that it could produce psychological damage?
Well, I'd say anything that is unknown, frightening, terrifying, that type of thing, could, to some people, because we're all different, could possibly affect you in the physical or psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I've been out hundreds of times, and I know a lot of people have, and I teach it all the time, and I talk about creating these things, and I talk about your own fears are what you really have to overcome, because your own fears are creating negative situations, sometimes create negative situations for you. And what I tell people is, once you start understanding this, you can have what I call a contamination-free out-of-body experience. That way, you're not introducing all these thought forms and negative things into your experience, and you can have a wonderful out-of-body experience with not only just flying around, if that's what you want to do, but with angelical beings.
I like the idea of flying around.
It's fun. I mean,
I like that a lot.
Like I said, you're so enthusiastic about the capability of flying, you're not thinking about the material stuff like going to spy on Russia to see what kind of secret documents they have in their files, or going to sneak into somebody's bedroom to see what they're doing. You're not thinking about that at all. You could if you really want to focus on that. But because you're so enthusiastic about flying, it's like buying a new car. You're going to drive the car all over the place. You're not going to want to stop and go shopping. You're going to want to drive because you're so enthusiastic about having the new car.
Oh, that's true.
So that's kind of how it works.
All right. When we come back from the top of the hour, I'm going to open the phone lines, which have been blazing away since the instant we began. But I felt like we had to get a good grounding here to understand what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do this anytime now that you want to?
Eight out of ten times, I'm pretty much successful. And even sometimes in one night, I've been able to have leave the body three times in one night.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say 8 out of 10 times. That's about my best average.
Have you been off planet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I describe it in my book. And like I said, there's no limitations. You can go up into space if you want, like Shirley MacLaine did in her movie, at the end of her movie, Out on a Limb.
I remember. I recall that. Yes, I recall that. I recall the what do you call it? That long stringy thing. The silver cord, yes.
Some people experience the silver cord and some people don't. But I do have a theory about what the silver cord is.
Yes.
And see, I've looked for mine. I have not seen it. But I kind of think of it as like leaving breadcrumbs. So you kind of know how to follow it back to your body in case you're a little fearful. So it's kind of like a security blanket, so to speak.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. But you apparently don't need it.
No, you don't need it, and as a matter of fact, you don't need the astral body. See, Robert Monroe slipped out of the second body, and I have too, and you can exist, as a pinpoint of consciousness, or in your light body, which is your natural state. You don't need the astral form. But it provides. But see, if you went from a physical reality to a non-physical reality, like a pinpoint of consciousness, you'd be so disoriented, you probably would panic. So the astral form is like a security blanket in itself, because you feel like you're normal. You feel like you have hands, you feel like you have feet, a torso, so it doesn't feel that odd.
Is this, you know, normally we say don't try this at home. I think we're saying now this is something you can try at home. Could somebody, from listening to you tonight, somebody who's been having sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
after hearing what you've had to say and will say,
mm-hmm.
could they try it based on that much?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. My mother did it. She's 74 years old. She did it and had a wonderful experience with her guardian angel. That's what she calls it. And she's still very, very enthusiastic about it, and she's lived her whole life with this paralysis, dreading it, up until 4 years ago.
Now
she loves it. So yes, if someone goes to sleep tonight and they find themselves in the paralysis, if you can remember not to panic, and if you can remember not to try to fight your way out of it, and let go, and just relax and think about floating upward, I'd say 99% of the time you will have a wonderful eye-opening experience.
Will it begin the moment you consciously say, "All right, I'm gonna go with it. I want to come up and I want to go out of my body"? Is that when it will begin, or is there a further period of kind of panicked, hard to breathe, paralyzed state you've got to go through before it begins?
Well, with practice, you can reduce that time period of that paralysis down to almost nothing. But it takes a little bit of practice. Some people are I don't want to use the word gifted, but some people are more capable of transitioning that little period of time. I'd say that with a little bit of practice, you may not even feel the paralysis at all. Your body may drift off to sleep, and you may start rising out of body right away. That happens to me now, where I virtually don't feel the paralysis at all.
All right.
Let me give this advice to whoever...
Hold the advice. We're
okay.
At the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in from heavy flight.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. Great to be here, in fact. And we have a special show underway. In answer to nights and nights and nights of questions from my audience about sleep paralysis, I have found Albert Taylor. He has written a book called Soul Traveler. From a very early age, he had death-like night paralysis, sleep paralysis. This is a man who worked on the stealth F-117 project, a man who worked on SDI, a scientist, a man who began to research what was happening to him from childhood, and now has found that it was the key, is the key, to what's called OBE, or out-of-body travel, spirit travel, whatever you want to call it. An interesting background, a fascinating man, a fascinating topic, many, many of you experiencing it. We're going to go to the lines. We've done 2 hours of setup. If you're just joining the show, you'll have to kind of hang in there with us, and we'll get back to Albert Taylor in a moment.
Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
If you would like to see more about Albert Taylor and about soul travel and about his book, Soul Traveler, you can go to my website, and we've got an immediate link to jump over to his. If you are a computer type, simply go up to my website at www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. If you would like to get Mr. Taylor's book, you are not an easy guy to get hold of, and I really have been trying very, very hard to find somebody of your caliber to talk on the subject. It's not easy, and I was sort of panicked over the last few days getting all these calls, and I'm not an expert in this area. You are, and I've already learned a very great deal. Let's take some calls and see what people have to say, all right?
Great.
Okay, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Where are you calling from, please?
Hi, I'm Kaylin from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, all right.
And about 6 years, 5 or 6 years ago, something similar to what you're talking about happened to me, and for many years up until now, I thought it was like a demonic possession or something.
Sure.
It was very terrifying and traumatic for me, and it was very late at night, and I was wide awake, just dying to get to sleep, and I felt this, I closed my eyes for a moment, and I felt this immense pressure. Like I was being smothered,
mm-hmm.
or
right.
like there was a weight on me, but it
right.
wasn't physical. It was just no physical touch, but I could feel the pressure.
Right.
And I could feel my body gasping for air.
Right.
And I didn't hear any noise. I didn't hear the buzzing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All I remember is just definitely struggling to try to come to and gather myself.
Right. Well, that's what I spoke about earlier, and some people nicknamed that experience the heavies.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that, you know, not everyone's going to get all of the symptoms. Not everyone's going to feel the vibes. Not everyone's going to hear the roaring. Not everyone's going to feel the falling back through the bed or the heaviness. But any one of those is a great indication that you're having these experiences. Some people travel out of body and never even experience the paralysis, like the gentleman who studied in Tibet was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, but. Do know this, that you definitely, you can say one, yes or yes to one or two or three of the questions that I've asked the people. Know that you are having these experiences and embrace it. It's a wonderful thing and feel lucky about it.
It's so terrifying. You know, I mean, my whole life I've been so interested in the OBE thing and all kinds of psychic phenomena and the whole world of the sixth sense. And
well, what I can say is, to quote someone very famous, is the only thing you have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah, I agree with this young lady. I'm scared to death of it. And how do you get over that hump? How do you know, it's easy to sit here and just
right.
talk about, but boy, when that moment comes, it's
well,
a terrifying thing. And
I like to tell my little kitten story for those of you who are cat lovers out there. It's just like this. It's like when you bring a cat home from the pound or something like that, and you let it loose in your house, and it runs around your house, and it finally gets very used to being indoors. But one day you have to go out to the curb to wait for the UPS man,
yep.
and you leave the door open, and you go out there to the curb. You know cats, how curious they are. They're going to come to the door, and they're going to look out the door and think, wow, this is a whole new world out there I didn't know anything about. But when the UPS man drives up, the rumbling of the truck, it's going to frighten the cat because it's not familiar with it, and it's going to run back in.
Yep.
But eventually it's going to come right back to the door and look outside and realize, well, there's no threat now. Nothing's hurt me. And it's going to step out onto the porch, and eventually it's going to step out into the shrubbery near the door.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few days of doing this, the cat is going to be down the street, and you won't be able to find it. And
yep.
that's exactly what we do. The more and more I would come to the door, sometimes I'd hear the rumbling. Sometimes I'd see something, and I'd panic and run back in. But then I'd realize nothing happened to me. So I'd go further and further, and the further I would go, the more I would understand, and the more confidence I would build, so it allowed me to even go even further.
Okay,
so just take it a little bit at a time. You don't have to run into it. And if you feel fear, it's perfectly normal because it's fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
But realize that you are safe. Nothing is going to happen to you. You're not going to die. You're not going to be tortured by some demonic beings. You are okay. It's okay.
I just want to know that I'm not going to have to wake up every night and make a pot of coffee.
Well, just stay out from under the UPS wheels. All right. Thank you very much. That was a good call. On the first time caller line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hi, Al Taylor. This is Peter from San Francisco.
Hello, Peter.
Not unlike you, I've been fighting this thing since as a child in the 50s, so Art, this is not a new phenomena.
Right.
About 15 years ago, after seeing my only one and only UFO,
mm-hmm.
I had always fought the paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
One night, this was within about a week, I saw some sort of a weird probe that looked like a small satellite in my room. I turned the lights on, it went away. About a week later, it was the first attack of sleep paralysis, maybe in a number of years at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I will swear something was trying to pull me out of my body through the headboard, and I could actually feel myself being pulled.
Mm-hmm.
I had to fight for like what seemed an eternity, like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, unlike the buzzing, I had heard the buzzing noises, but this was making a sound like a loose fan belt.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a wah, wah, wah noise. Mm-hmm. It was a strange noise. And I was, it felt like I was fighting for my life. And under those conditions, I have to say, like Art feels, if I was going to let go, I felt I was never coming back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll take my call, answer off the air.
All right.
Well, let me ask you one quick question before you leave.
Uh-huh.
When you felt something pulling on you, was it like a force or did you feel like hands? Is there like a force pulling you, like gravity type of thing, reverse gravity or something, or did you feel like a person was pulling on you?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's very hard to say now. It's been a long time. I got the feeling that I could almost see something dark behind me,
mm-hmm.
like it was a dark entity.
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous force. I have definitely over the years, I've always fought it since a child. I always fought it, and I always knew that I could feel that floating sensation,
mm-hmm.
like, and you jump almost back into the body. I could tell the difference between floating and being somehow pulled.
Mm-hmm.
A
all
force,
right.
an arm, a hand, claws,
all right, all right.
thing with black wings, I don't know.
All right, good enough. All right, so in other words, whatever it was, he can't define it, obviously.
Right,
but
right.
he was being pulled by something, some force. It was not just sort of a drifting out of body type deal. Something was trying to yank him out. Now, what about
right.
that?
Well, listening to him, you know, and see, I hear a lot of people describe their experiences, and a lot of times they will say something like the caller just said, a dark force. And see, I'm a researcher, and I'm a middle of the road person, and from what I heard from him, there's really no indication that it's a negative thing. He may have perceived it that way.
I would.
And that's okay if that's the way you want to perceive it. But because we're talking about perception, you could also perceive it as a positive thing. Just because you don't know what it is doesn't necessarily mean that it's something dark or negative.
Just fear of the unknown.
Very positive.
Fear of the unknown.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but should you feel that you're being yanked and tugged and pulled, is that the feeling that should manifest, or is it...
Well, yes, it happens. It happened to me all the time. Matter of fact, I dreaded it because I didn't know what was going on. My guides were pulling on me, trying to get me out. See, they do this to us every night, but only a few of us remember. He just happened to be conscious of it. Now, there are probably dozens and dozens of times that he had that same experience where he was being pulled that he doesn't recall. So it's not really that abnormal. It's just he happened to be very conscious of the experience at the time.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hello, this is Jared from Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Jared. Hello. I had an episode of sleep paralysis last night, as a matter of fact, and I was laying on my side, and I was totally conscious through all of this because I was watching the clock radio, digital clock next to my bed. I was timing how long this was going to last, because it was the first time I was actually conscious through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my first response was to fight it, to try to move my body to try to, you know, jump out of bed so
right.
it would go away. The more I tried, the harder it was, mm-hmm. and so I finally decided to let go and to see what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I, you know, said, okay, I'm going to let go, as soon as I let go, I started, you know, I was hearing this noise, very loud noise, like somebody was spraying a water hose onto the side of a tin barn almost.
Right. Right. Horrific noise.
It was awful, and it kept getting louder and louder the more
right.
I, you know, got sucked into it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I got this really odd sensation that my body was vibrating, and I began to, you know, feel this sense of levitation.
Mm-hmm.
The experience got so bizarre that immediately, as soon as I felt the levitation, I began to fight it. Mm-hmm. You know, just all of a sudden I started fighting it because I had to get out of this, you know, it was so, you know, weird. It was very foreign to me. I started fighting, and finally I snapped out of it, and I jumped out of bed, turned all the lights on, and started calling people. And I called a friend of mine who has petite mal epilepsy, and he was telling me that, you know, things like that happen to him all the time.
Uh-huh.
But my question is if you let yourself go into, you know, the levitation and what have you, can you get so enthralled into that? I mean, can you get so enthralled into where you don't want to go back into your body, or to where you just don't ever go back into your body?
You know, no. See, the body has like an automatic recall kind of mechanism.
Uh-huh.
If you're out for a while, you'll start feeling drawn back, like pulled back, and it's very difficult to fight. And you eventually you'll just almost literally be kind of slammed or sucked back in.
Yeah.
So you can try to stay out.
My main fear.
After a period of time, the body starts to recall you.
Hmm. Yeah, my main fear was that if I kept going and going and going, because I didn't know where I was going to go, actually, if I kept letting myself go, that I may, you know, I could have maybe never have gone back into my body. And so that's why I automatically started fighting it again.
Now, one thing that I have found is that, and this is another warning that I give people, and I don't give many, just a couple, is that while out of body, if you experience a higher consciousness of who you are, all of a sudden, I mentioned that earlier, that all of a sudden I realized that was my home. That was my natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back to the body, I have to tell you now how it is now. I'm permanently homesick. I always think about it because it's a wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be something you may have to deal with. It's just the euphoria feeling or the wonderful lightness and well-being that you feel while out of body. You almost crave it. That's about the only warning I would say. But you don't have to worry about not being able to return or being drawn away by something beyond something supernatural that keeps you from returning. You don't have to worry about that at all.
Suppose,
matter of fact, the best thing to do is try to get rid of all your fears.
Well,
this is a very natural part of our existence, and it's a very wonderful thing.
I was absolutely afraid to go back to sleep last night. As a matter of fact, I stayed up all morning and slept through all of my classes. But, I stayed up all night, but after listening, you know, to the show so far, it's a bit comforting, and I think I will go to sleep tonight, and I'm almost looking forward to it happening again, just so that I have the opportunity to let myself go further.
Great.
Than I did last night.
I tell you, after a while, you will look for the paralysis. You will want to have it, because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say something before we broke last break, Art.
Yes, sir.
And that was about, see, a lot of people have this paralysis, and not everybody wants to have an OBE. Some people just want to get out of the paralysis. I have a cousin who I found, I was searching for people who were having paralysis.
All right, good. Let me try that angle. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose I'm having paralysis and I want out.
Mm-hmm.
How do I come out?
Okay, and that's what I was going to share. My cousin, I sat for hours and explained to her, wow, you can be off on your own jaunts, flying around and all that. And she looked at me and she said, why would I want to do that? She says, I just want to connect and get out of the paralysis.
Yep.
So this is what I tell people. If you find yourself in the paralysis and you dread it and you want to get out of it, first of all, just relax, calm down. There's nothing going to happen. But think about moving a small part of your body. Don't try to move everything. Just think about maybe your hand, your little finger, your foot. Just think about moving that.
It's a reconnection with the physical.
Correct. That is just a small part, not a big part.
Mm-hmm.
And that is usually enough to help you reconnect. And a matter of fact, the more and more you practice it, you'll get so good at reconnecting, it won't be a problem or an issue at all.
Good advice. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Taylor.
Hi.
This is Brent in Fort Myers, Florida.
Yeah,
I work in a sleep disorder center, and we have our patients fill out a very detailed questionnaire, and I'm always impressed by the number of people that say they experience sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was wondering, has there been any studies done to correlate REM sleep with out-of-body experiences?
The Monroe Institute, they have done about the most extensive research that I can think of regarding altered states of consciousness, because that's basically what we're talking about. If you wanted to, they have, I believe there's website information, or you can write to the Monroe Institute if you want to.
I just finished
Ultimate
that
Journey.
It was a good book.
Pardon?
Okay. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about, you said it is an altered state of consciousness. What about sensory deprivation? What can you tell me about that? Is it
meaning like chambers?
That's right.
Tanks?
That's right.
That will help you. Some people, there's numerous ways to achieve an out-of-body. Not everybody is going to go to sleep at night and have an OBE. See, there's OBE in that state. You know, and this is what's kind of remarkable, Art, is that even joggers who've jogged in the L.A. Marathon, while jogging, they get into this pattern, this rhythm.
Yes.
And some of the joggers have reported all of a sudden floating above their bodies watching themselves run. That's called a spontaneous out-of-body experience.
That's my kind of OBE. If I've got to run, I want to float.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you that you are not your body, I don't know what will, if it's moving by itself.
I'm gonna get very serious for a moment. You
mm-hmm.
mentioned something a little earlier about healing.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is presently sitting in the other room with a fairly serious asthmatic attack. She's
mm-hmm.
an asthmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be helped?
Without being specific and saying asthma, I can share this with you. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed. I had major attack of multiple sclerosis, and I had two major attacks and landed me in the hospital. The prognosis was very bad. I was supposed to have I had equilibrium problems. I wasn't able to even ride a bike, let alone drive a car. I had eye jitters, double vision. And through MRIs, I had damage to the occipital lobe, and my doctor said that eventually I would end up in a wheelchair. I don't harp on this as much because everybody is different, but I can say this, while out of body, you have incredible capability. I mean, you have to find out what you are, but you have the capability to send healing energy to your body. And I would say this, now whatever way you want to explain it, here it is 5 years later, absolutely no eye jitter, absolutely no equilibrium problems, I am not in a wheelchair, I drive fine, and I haven't had any repeat attacks of MS whatsoever.
How did you do it?
Just, you know, when you're out of body, you're floating out of body, you send healing energy, you think, I want to heal this body, and you think of sending healing energy to your body. And that is the way it manifested in my life. And I don't regret it. I'm fine.
So you thought yourself well?
Yes. Yes. I didn't even know it would work.
You've been back forever?
But tell you the truth, I had nothing to lose.
Well, that's right. With that diagnosis, of course,
yeah.
You did not.
Nothing at all.
All right, Al. Bottom of the hour. Stay right there. We'll be right back. We're talking about OBEs, out-of-body experiences, which are what follows sleep paralysis, which is what we've been talking about for days. This is a man who knows. He's Al Taylor. He'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow.
Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 25th, 1996.
There may be more to this world than is immediately obvious. That's what we're talking about this morning. My guest is Al Taylor. If you stick around, you too may learn something this morning. His book is Soul Traveler. It's the result of what begins as sleep paralysis. We'll get back to it in a moment. Fascinating topic.
What a wonderful.
Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Back now to Al Taylor. Al, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I want to touch on something you sort of touched on a moment ago, then we'll go right back to the lines, and that is... this apparently, once you, if you're able to give in and begin to do it, is such a joyful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some little danger that you'll get out there and won't want to come back?
Well, I would say yes, you would not want to come back, because it's like going to Disneyland and all of a sudden, you know, you have to leave. You still have a lot more rides you want to get on. It is that. It's so much fun. But be aware that you can do it again and again. I'm still having consciously controlled OBEs, and that's what my second book is going to be about, is my continuing travels. So, you know, you don't have to cram it all in one thing or think, I got to do it now. You can continue to have these experiences throughout your life.
So no matter what, and this is a big sort of safety net for a lot of people, you are not going to ever get stuck in astral space.
No, you'll be recalled no matter how long you want to stay out. You eventually will be recalled, and you might come back so fast that you may feel like as if you've dropped from the ceiling or been slammed into your body.
Now, people who are in comas, where are they?
That's a good question, you know, and I would say that the majority of people probably are OBE. Because once the body gets into the relaxed state, you're at a fork in the road. You can do pretty much whatever you want to do, or you may just start floating upward and not want to. That has happened to me numerous times, and that's what happened in the beginning when I didn't know what I was doing. I would just float upward without trying to.
Here's somebody with a physical malady. Al, about 3 years ago, went to my room, took a two-hour nap. When I woke up, my whole right side, the whole right side of my torso was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm about 90% back to normal. Any thoughts?
See, then that to me doesn't sound like the paralysis that I'm talking about.
This is a real physical malady.
Because the paralysis that I'm talking about, all it takes is for someone to touch you or a loud noise or for you, like I said, to concentrate on moving a small part of your body to completely 100% reconnect. if you are awake and you have this paralysis and you wake up and you're still partially paralyzed, I would say that's definitely or more of a medical problem.
Right.
I'm not a doctor.
So I understand.
It definitely doesn't sound like the paralysis I'm referring to.
All right, here's a young lady in Los Angeles who wants to know. She says, ask Albert about the possible meaning of that loud shrieking sound that usually occurs in my head during this sleep paralysis. What is that sound?
Okay, if it's a loud shrieking sound, generally it manifests in a high-pitched sound or a roaring of the wind or a roaring sound or a water sound or a musical note or the buzzing. And this is what's interesting, and it goes into a lot of detail, is that when you achieve that altered state or disconnect from the physical, you are very aware of people's thoughts. And if you think about, if you had 100 people in a room and they were all talking at the same time, it would be this horrific noise that you would not be able to understand.
Okay.
And a lot of times, Robert Monroe, I think he called it the M-band noise. A lot of times you hear thoughts. I mean, and it can be incredible and loud. I think that's pretty much possibly what the person may be experiencing.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hi, this is Peter from Lakewood.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Peter.
And I'm taking a little bit different bent than you are. I was a Catholic monk trained in Tibetan meditation for many
mm-hmm.
years. I'm no longer religious, but I come from a basically religious and now into the scientific, so I'm kind of looking at it differently. We were trained that there is no physical paralysis. If you can, you've heard of that phrase, mind over matter. Well,
mm-hmm.
we were trained soul over mind
mm-hmm.
over matter. And the word that you used is reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that that's exactly what it is, but I think you're looking at it from a scientific perspective in that when you are in a relaxed state, and I agree with about 95% of everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in this relaxed state, whether it's at night or sleeping or through meditation, this soul comes out, or you come into this soul state,
mm-hmm.
and when you become conscious that you're in this soul state, we're basically a physical being, and that's a mental and physical being, and you try to get your soul to control your physical, and you can't do it
mm-hmm.
because that connection is not there. The soul cannot tell the physical body to move. So when you use the word paralysis, I think, you know, it's a catchy word, but it's a negative word in that you can't move, there's negativity there. Really, if you have this understanding that you're going into this soul state, then you don't have that fear, and that's what we were trained.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit nervous because I'm not used to talking on the phone, but can you see it a little bit from my perspective?
Well, see, your perspective is a more evolved understanding of the phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But the average person that's out there and
yes.
hasn't heard any of this, all they know is that they feel paralyzed.
Exactly.
So to be able to talk to this person about the experience that they're having, I think paralysis seems to be a kind of a universal word that people understand.
I agree, but I think that if you interject the instead of an understanding that it's more of a soul state that they don't have to worry about.
Oh,
all right,
yeah,
but you've got to understand, Carla, that we've got to use language that addresses the average person. They're sitting out there scared out of their wits about
yeah.
this, and so we're trying to speak their language.
I understand.
Right.
Just one other thing, too, about have you ever done anything about OBE, and I'm using your words, artwork?
You know, that's interesting that you would say that, because I am an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see my book, I drew the cover of the book.
Oh,
I've
not seen
fact.
That. I'm going to buy that book.
And my portfolio, I'd say 50% of the artwork in my portfolio came to me in dreams and altered states.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought that up is that, you know, as I said, soul over mind over matter,
mm-hmm.
we were taught that when you get, through meditation, when you get to this state of soul, that we had a priceless pieces of artwork at the Abbey where I was,
mm-hmm.
and as you probably know, being an artist, when you draw something, you as an artist are taking the essence like out of a tree,
mm-hmm.
and you're mixing it with your soul, and then you're putting the essence of the tree, your interpretation of the essence of the tree, in your soul on the canvas, and so that's there forever, your soul and the essence of the tree on there. Well, we were taught how to go out of this in this altered state to the soul state of ourselves and then go into the artwork to join with the soul of the artist and the essence of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, have you done any of that?
Well, you know, I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I would say it came so naturally that I didn't have to think about it. I just would get these visions and pictures in my head of scenes, and I would just feel compelled to draw them. I drew the cover at work at one of the major aerospace companies in Southern California.
You did.
It came to me right in the middle of doing something that was related to my job, and I had to stop everything I was doing and draw the cover of the book.
Well, let's put off this National Defense SDI stuff for a while and draw a cover for a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I felt compelled.
Yeah. All right, here's something for you, and tell me what this was. When I was, let's say, just many years ago now, I worked in the cable industry,
mm-hmm.
and one day I was up on a pole, you know, a pole, we have cable
mm-hmm.
on poles,
mm-hmm.
and I did what we call, I burned a pole, which means I fell off a pole. I came down on my butt and my elbow, and I impacted L4 and L5, and I hurt my back seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I spent one period of a month on my back. And this is going to sound strange, but when you you get tired of watching TV, mm-hmm. you get tired of doing what can be done from your back. So I used to lie there and look at the spackles on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what a spackled ceiling is like,
right?
All right. And I would sit there concentrating and examining these stupid spackles on the ceiling, and I would begin to feel... I could actually begin to feel the beginning of an altered state.
Right.
Looking at these dumb spackles. And I would snap myself out of it. But that was not during sleep. It wasn't paralyzed. I wasn't paralyzed. But I began to feel the beginning of an altered state. What was I doing?
Well, you know, basically, Art, when you begin to meditate and achieve an altered state, what you're doing is you're quieting the mind. And when you quiet the mind, it is helpful to focus in on one specific thing. And as you do, and that's what you were doing. You were looking at this possibly one or two bumps on the ceiling. I tell people that you can also do the same thing and have something manifest where you have an actual experience by focusing on maybe the number one or a triangle or a square or a circle, just something very, very simple. Because when, like I said, when you quiet the mind, you do have these altered states or these experiences.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Al.
Good morning.
Great show.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Saugus, California.
California, all right.
Ah. Yeah. Art, first, regarding your wife, I read it on a journal several years ago that that type of asthma can be cured or helped with hypnosis. If you find a licensed hypnotist, they could maybe help your wife's allergies.
That's another altered state, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is, and it works. In my opinion, and I agree with everything that Al says, is that the out-of-body experience is a type of hypnosis. I mean, you are actually self-hypnotizing yourself to relax and then projecting yourself out.
Isn't that, Al, a type of self-hypnosis?
I would say yes. Yes. And if you think about it, an altered state of consciousness is sort of a hypnotic trance or something. I would say yes, definitely.
Okay.
Something I want to mention, Art, because there's a lot of people out there who are having OBEs or are close to having them and aren't aware of the clues and symptoms.
Right.
I want to mention a few things that people will maybe be able to relate to.
All right.
And so I ask this in all my lectures that I do up and down the coast and in various places in the country. One of those is that if you fly in your dream, whether you think you're really having a flying dream or not, that is a clue that you may be having an OBE or close to one.
Oh.
Another one, one of the callers mentioned vibration.
Yep.
See, being in Southern California, all of us feel bright vibrations out here, but this is more like an oscillation where it's steady. And that's a clue. Another one is if you hear the loud noises that we spoke of, the buzzing or the roaring. Another one is the paralysis. And this is something that I wasn't aware of and scared me to death, is if you hear your name being called.
Oh, I don't know if I'd like that.
Yeah, well, that's kind of scary, but a lot of people have heard their names being called right before drifting off to sleep or right in the morning when they're about to wake up. And this is the last one that it may be a clue, is if you wake up twice. Now, that means you wake up, you think you're awake, and you may even go to the bathroom or walk around the house or fall out of the bed, and then suddenly realize that you never did any of these things, that you were really sleeping.
So if you wake up and you hear, Al Taylor, over here, Mr. Taylor over here.
Well, yeah, you know, it's kind of like that, except it's
softer. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm out of here.
People hear their names being called quite often because that's your guide calling you, or angel, whatever you want to call it.
Well, if that's my guide, I'm not going.
No, not God, guide.
No, I said guide. If that's my guide, I'm not going. I want my guide to say something like, hey, Art, good to see you. Want to take a little trip? Something like that. Well,
they're going to approach you in a way that is least threatening. So if that's what you want, that may be what you'll get.
I'll look forward to that. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hello.
God, is that who it is when I hear my name being called?
That's
it. As soon as you said that, wow, that is. I've had that happen a few times and I look around like, God, where'd that come from?
That's it.
Wow, that's really weird. Because I hear a roar like from an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of the symptoms that you have talked about, but the name thing, whoa, that just gave me chills. anyway, I've been having these LBEs since I was about 5 years old.
Where are you, young lady?
I'm Debbie from Redondo Beach,
okay.
California.
All right.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Al. And I had one about a year ago, and I guess some people would call them recurring dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had these since I was 5 years old. I guess they're the same thing. Would you say they were the same thing?
Reoccurring dreams?
Yeah, and out-of-body experiences?
Not necessarily.
Hmm. Okay.
If you can go into more detail, maybe I can understand a little further.
Well, I've had like six of these where I constantly, when I go to sleep, it's like a soap opera. It's a continuing thing. You know, I'll meet certain people and we'll hug or... In this one dream, I meet this little boy who's in a hospital in a bed,
mm-hmm.
and his brother's standing next to him, and we'll hug every time we meet, and they'll say, how come you haven't visited us for all this time? You know, why don't you come more often? And it's not like we're talking, but it's more like we're thinking
mm-hmm.
to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it, like telling them or thinking to them that it's hard to get to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And... The little boy, he reached up the last time I had this, I think it's an out-of-body experience. I'm
oh, that this is weird. Now, I've never heard of a dream like that where they're expecting you or they've seen you before and they're welcoming you back.
I've had like six of these since I was 5 years old, and I still to this day keep having the same six.
It's not like a normal dream, is it, Al?
No, not really. You know, and then there are some possible explanations of what you may be experiencing.
Okay, well, let me finish. And so anyway, the last time that I had this one certain one where I see this little boy in the hospital, he put his hand on my chest, and I have in the past had a heart murmur, an
mm-hmm.
extra heartbeat, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had EKGs to show this, and I've been on Atenolol, which is... they treat the extra heartbeat and high blood pressure with this medication.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the little boy put his hand on my heart, and he said, I want your heart to be healed. And all of a sudden, I just shot up in bed, and ever since that day, I have not had my heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately went off the medication, and I have never had that problem since.
Wonderful.
It was so neat.
Wonderful.
And I haven't been able to get back to him since, but I really want to go back and thank him.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought I'd go in and share that with you and see what you thought about that.
Well, I've heard a lot. I've heard some similar stories where people have gone and experienced things with a child or their mother or a dead aunt or whatever. Or, you know, guides are there for you, but they don't always present themselves exactly as you would think. Like
right.
if they feel that they are a male entity or a female, they may present themselves to you as a child, so you feel less threatened, so you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know, that happens quite often. And the fact that it manifested physically by healing you also tells me that it's possibly an angelical kind of encounter or a guide type of thing. Or it could be someone who is, that, you know, because I believe in reincarnation, you know.
Right,
it could be a soulmate of yours that is still on the other side, that is caring for you or loves you and is able to help you.
Boy, that would be so neat.
Well, maybe you'll get back there, ma'am. Al, how are you doing? You still awake?
I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm
you
energized.
Do. You sound
my favorite subject. Right?
I know you sound awfully awake.
Yeah, I am.
All right.
Yeah.
In that case, let's have you stick around. The phones are going absolutely berserk, as
okay.
is my fax machine. So stay right
Great.
Where you are. There's more to come. Al Taylor is my guest. Spackles on the wall. How about that?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight, featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
If I was walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Last night I dressed in pale pretenders. I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow the swinger down. So please don't give a thought to me. I'm really doing fine. You can always find me here and have it quite a time.
Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 25th, 1996.
This is kind of some nice traveling music, isn't it? Astral travel. Travel on the astral plane. Soul Traveler is the name of my guest book, Al Taylor. And he'll be back in a moment.
We take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Well, we're going to play a little hardball here, Al.
All right.
Here's the facts. I'll just read it to you as is. Art, while your guest is very interesting, relating his experiences on OBE or about OBE, I feel he is not telling us about the dark side of this.
Hmm.
When you have an OBE, your soul leaves your body. There are disembodied souls that are either lost or evil, and if you're not careful or don't know how to protect yourself, they will try to occupy your body while you are traveling. Please have Al tell us about this. John in Eagle River, Alaska.
Interesting. You know, I've heard that, but to me, seeing that I have done it so many times, I mean, not just once, not just twice, not even just 50 times, so many times, and none of those things, negative things, have happened, I can only share with someone some experience that I've had, and I haven't had anyone try to take my body. I would say this, though, that all spirits you meet aren't forthright and all-knowing and angelic, of course, they're going to have their human personalities and traits, and they may try to play games with you or something like that, but you got to realize that you're no more defenseless. I mean, you're basically the same as they are. Let's try this.
Aside from somebody occupying your body like a burglar sneaking in when you're not home, can there be any harm done to you in the astral plane? In other words, let's say that you're traveling about and good old Saddam Hussein happens to be traveling about. Comical example or not so. And can you meet somebody with evil intent?
I would say you could meet evil, you know, that you can use that word. I would say that maybe with intent that wasn't in your own best interest, but you have an up on them. The thing that they, especially if it's a deceased person or spirit, you can always return to the physical. They can't. And you're not that defenseless. If you really understand who and what you are and who and what they are, you'll realize that you're very much on equal ground.
How do you discern the difference between the deceased traveling about and other OBEs?
And that's kind of interesting, and it's not something that I'll say, okay, you know, look for the red light on the forehead or something like that.
Right.
It's not like that. You know things that you don't know in the physical. You're open to understanding and thoughtful forms and experiences that are almost indescribable. It's very indescribable. It's very difficult to tell you how you get this knowing, but you do understand what is what. You, or at least you get an inkling of what is what. And through that that knowing, I'd say, that will enable you to deal with the situation accordingly.
So it's not like they're wearing a little label.
No.
But you know. In other words,
I'm not sure how to explain what that understanding
is. Okay, in other words,
in
that plane, you just know.
Yes, you do have an understanding of what's going on.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Another thing, let me mention this real quick, Art, is you can access your higher self in an instant in that state. So always, if you feel fearful, always ask for guidance from your higher self.
All right, I do have a question about chemicals and several other questions, but I'm going to defer to callers. Somebody all the way from Honolulu, Hawaii. Hello there.
Hello, Art.
How's Honolulu this morning?
Oh, it is beautiful as always.
Of course. Don't you guys ever get tired of that? I mean, unrelenting beauty.
It's just terrible. I wake up and I see the mountains, and you smell the flowers, and every day it's just awful.
Paradise, paradise, paradise. All
Don't
right.
You get tired of rubbing it in?
Never.
All right. Anyway, you're on the air with Al.
Great. Good evening, gentlemen. I was so excited to turn on the show tonight and find out what the topic is. It's something that I've been experiencing since I was about 16 years old, and you can't really talk to your friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spoken to my husband several times, and sometimes he raises an eyebrow, and I've kind of cut that a little bit.
Right.
But I've been having OBEs since I was about 16, like I said, a couple times a month,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't quite sure what to do with them, and sometimes you get scared, and I didn't know a lot about it. And I want to say, too, I do have a couple questions, but I do want to tell people that many times I've had the dreaded paralysis also, scared the bejeebies out of me. And sometimes I'd go straight through, and sometimes, you know, I would just be caught in that paralysis, and I really
mm-hmm.
didn't know how they were connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading about astral projection
mm-hmm.
and, you know, trying to get some answers. And I read the most important thing. I read that when the paralysis happens, calm down. Instead of trying to fight it and you get frantic and you want to wake up and you want to move something and it gets crazy,
right.
Relax.
Right.
And you go right through.
How do you
and
do
I'm
it,
like,
though?
Oh,
how do you
okay,
do it?
Right.
I'm asking you both. How do you do that? I get to that stage, that frightening stage, and it's easy to mouth the words relax, but how do you do it? How do you do it?
Well, Art, I can say this. Before we spoke today or had this program, you didn't know much about it. Now you
That's
know
right.
a little bit more than you knew before, so the next time you experience it, I think you will react a little bit differently. Even maybe the third or fourth time.
If I can trust you, Hal.
Do you know how important that is, what you just said? I swear, it's like magic. Okay, I tried to remember that before I went to bed, and I have them spontaneously so often, and
mm-hmm.
you try to remember it, but you can't, you're too scared.
Right.
And about 6 months ago, the first time, it was like I said, just like magic. I was paralyzed and someone was coming towards me. That happened sometimes. I was so damn scared. I was panicking. And all of a sudden, I remembered what I read.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, just all of a sudden, I said, calm down. Just calm down.
Right.
And in remembering it, and all my faculties about me
mm-hmm.
just remembered it, and I just went straight forward and came
right.
out the other side. It was the most exciting thing that I've experienced. I was so excited with all the possibilities. I was like, I'm here. Oh my God. I looked at my hands and I saw myself and
mm-hmm.
I woke myself up.
Wonderful.
And I've done that. I've done that.
Too much enthusiasm, too much excitement, that brings you back real quick.
It sure does.
It sure does.
And now, this, like I said, this was about 6 months ago that I actually was to the point where I can control it, that I really could just calm myself down and go through. And one interesting thing, I've not had the paralysis since.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's that I just now maybe I just go through. And sometimes when I go to sleep, I try to concentrate, and I actually feel myself going there, and I get really excited, and I go, calm down.
Right.
And I just slip right through, and
right.
there I am.
When you feel excited, your heart starts beating up.
Oh, yeah.
Your heartbeat. And, yeah,
exactly.
That usually keeps you grounded.
Yeah,
and then when
yeah.
you calm down, then you release.
No offense, Al, but if enthusiasm keeps you from getting airborne, how do you ever travel?
Well, you have to find the balance from fear to excitement.
You're a very enthusiastic person about all of this.
It just took a lot of practice, Art. Just coming to that door like that kitten,
uh-huh.
coming to the door, you know, being frightened, getting enthusiastic, being excited.
I'm a cat person.
That works for you.
I'm a cat person. I can relate. Do you have a question, ma'am?
Yes, actually, one more comment is that the best time seems to be during light sleep for me, when
mm-hmm.
when I wake up in the morning and I can doze off for just a few minutes, and it happens then, or for a quick nap
yes.
in the afternoon.
Yes.
I sometimes go in, lay down for a quick nap, I go right there, fly around for a while, come back. It's amazing.
Right.
And one thing I wanted to ask, a couple quick questions, is I can do what I call being in both worlds,
mm-hmm.
and is that unusual? I'll be flying, and which is my favorite thing to do, it's just the most amazing thing,
mm-hmm.
and I'll hear the trash truck out front,
right?
And I'm lying there while I'm flying, and I go, oh, and I curse the trash truck, and I say, please hurry up and leave, do not wake me up. It's the most bizarre thing.
Now, well, I mentioned that earlier on the show, you're not totally disconnected. You're very aware of the room, very aware of your breathing, the temperature,
yeah.
the sounds around your body,
trash
but
truck.
Yet you can be totally in another different, your consciousness can
yeah.
be in a totally different location.
Yeah, it's an amazing
yeah.
thing, that the more I learn. But I want to ask about people and the spirit guides. How do I don't know enough about it, I'm trying to learn some about it, but are people, I've had so many experiences while I'm in the paralyzed state that there are people there, and they scare me. I've had an old woman sitting there and several other people coming to me or standing there, and I get so frightened when I know they're there with
mm-hmm.
the paralysis, and I just get so scared that I try to get out of it, and I do wake myself up. And as a matter of fact, some months ago, I got so scared at one point, I stopped myself from having them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible. But since I've not experienced the paralysis, I've not had that happen. So my question is about other people. Who are they, and what are they doing in my room?
They could be
what are
a
they
multitude
doing?
Of people, deceased relatives, grandmothers, aunts, astral travelers, guides, angelic beings. But the thing is that even through your experiences, have you been harmed in any way?
That's one thing that I wanted to say.
They haven't harmed you.
As I've been through the paralysis,
mm-hmm.
I've never felt the need to look back at my body. I've looked at my hands and looked to see that, yes, I'm here.
You know, the question was, though, have you been harmed ever?
I have never, ever. I've never had anybody do anything or threaten me in any way. Actually, I kind of tend to stay in my own little world.
Then what are you afraid of?
Not a darn thing I'm afraid of. Not a darn thing.
There you
I've
go.
Never felt,
so you nothing has happened.
I've never felt scared about not being able to come back.
You survived it numerous times.
All right, well, there you
okay.
are. All right, well, so thus far, and it's true, I have yet to talk to one person who has said they are harmed
right.
in any way. Listen, I let it slide a little earlier, and I think the fellow dropped off the line, but...
You're going to talk about crystal quartz now?
Well, chemicals in general. Chemicals
right.
Produce altered states. Chemicals
uh-huh.
produce sleep disturbance. What do you say about chemicals?
Well, this is what I tell people. I believe that chemicals, illegal drugs and legal drugs like alcohol, things like that, inhibit or sometimes prevent you from having an out-of-body experience.
Really?
Sometimes, but there are some drugs that people have claimed that they have had these experiences. But what I say is this is a very, very natural thing. And you don't want to do something that's possibly going to cause you some physical damage to your body. Because it's very easy to do it very naturally. And if you do it naturally, you can do it over and over again without worrying about any ramifications like being locked up.
So just say, I don't need it.
So, yeah, you don't need it. I'd stay away from it. Leave it alone. You don't need it. You can do it naturally. Even alcohol prevents it.
All right, this is back to the ground floor, but explain to this gentleman, I've got a fax. Is it possible to teach myself to do this if I've never even had a sleep paralysis episode before?
Oh, yeah, because like I said, just because you haven't had the paralysis doesn't mean that some of these other things that I mentioned, the flying, the buzzing, the vibration, those are all still symptoms of the same thing.
Well, that's even, kind of part of it, but I mean, how would you bring it on, I guess, is what he's asking.
Well, in my book, Chapter 14, I list about five different techniques that I've not only tested on myself, I've tested on all my students, on my family, my mother, my son, and I have a lot of success with these techniques. Try one until you feel very comfortable with. Another thing, since we're all up early in the morning right now, one thing that I found that works for me too is sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're all up now, I challenge or I suggest that those of you who are going back to sleep after this show, try to lay there and relax your body one muscle at a time, like I said, and see if your body falls asleep. That's a great way to induce it.
You know, I as I said earlier, I was doing that because I had real trouble, and somebody sent me a letter and said, try that. Just concentrate on your finger, relax it, then your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Then your body, then your neck, then your, you know, go right.
Yeah, exactly.
Start, if you want to, start at your toe and move upward, but one piece at a time, force it to relax.
Right.
And by the before you're ever done, you'll be asleep.
Exactly. That's what happens.
Huh.
That's what happens.
All right.
You may hear yourself snoring.
That's actually happened. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Okay, where are you?
San Diego.
Yes, sir.
I'm the guy that was talking about Crystal.
Oh, you are?
Yeah,
all
I'm
right.
Still on the line.
All right,
well,
I kept you on the line. I'll be doing
it.
Well, all right, you kind of got your answer then.
Yes, I did. And I'm going to give her best advice. I mean, I'm in the Marine Corps, so I don't do that. But the thing is, don't be afraid. Don't fear it.
Don't fear the OBE experience?
Right.
Not the drug experience.
Well, no, she's off with that.
That's right. Good.
But
yeah, no, don't fear it.
All right.
And don't let other people tell you to fear it. Because see, some people say, well, that's this and that's demonic. See, everybody becomes an expert even though they haven't had the experience. Don't let them tell you that it's a fearful, horrible, demonic, crazy thing. It is not. It is very natural. Be calm about it and tell her to enjoy it. Tell her if she can do this, she's very, very fortunate and very, very blessed.
I've got a fax here from a reverend. Who says he's not at all disturbed by what you're discussing and that those of a religious nature ought not to be.
Right.
But a lot of the flock aren't they? They're terrified of this. They feel it is of the devil. It is of the darkness. It's not. Why? I can't believe that it would be. I can't believe that if we do have a soul, and I do believe we have one, that there's anything wrong with examining it with trying to get in touch with it or traveling with it. I mean, what can be so dark and bad about that?
Well, you know, the thing that we're talking about here, Art, is fear. And that's really all it is. I had a reverend back in the Bible Belt say about, he said, Albert Taylor must have been possessed by demons to have written this book.
Oh,
I was shocked.
Really?
I didn't realize that people still did that in the 90s. But my only response to that was, I could respect that a lot more if at least he'd read my book. You know, this doesn't threaten anybody's religion, because in all religions, it talks about that we are spirit, that we are sparks of God.
Yes.
And just because, I mean, people did it in the Bible and in other books in the past, that doesn't mean that that is only for people who've lived thousands of years ago. No, we are still the same spiritual beings. Yes, we can still do these things. This is nothing new. This subject has been hidden in the occult category for so long, and that's where it got all these fearful condemnations. But it's out of that category now and now into a new category, and it's okay. As a matter of fact, I think it would reconfirm any spiritual belief or religious belief that you may have.
Well, you know, Al, about 100 years ago, mm-hmm. we'd have put you up on this big piece of wood, and we'd put kindling wood under you,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have lit you up.
And the worst thing that would happen to me is I would have ended up in a permanently out-of-body state.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hello.
Yes, hello, Art.
Yes.
Hi, this is Don in Pinole, California.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Don.
And a pleasure to speak with you, and a pleasure to meet you, Al.
Great, thank you.
I have a question. I had an out-of-body experience about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I did it intentionally after reading Robert Munro's book.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I tried for about a year to have one, and you fall asleep 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You were close.
Oh, yeah. And I finally achieved it, and after leaving my body, let me tell you, seeing your own body laying there is quite a shock.
Yes,
but,
yes it is.
I managed to stay out of my body, and I was attempting to travel somewhere else. I wanted to go to a different place to kind of prove to myself that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And another entity entered my space. This entity looked, it appeared to be my mother. It looked like my mother, and this entity was scolding me, you know, yelling at me, kind of a, like what are you doing?
Really?
And I'm curious, was that a guardian angel, possibly? Was that a...
Your mother is alive?
Yes, my mother is alive.
You could say guardian angel, you could say guide. Scolding you, meaning,
Well, I never felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be just like if your mother was yelling at you. You know she would never hurt you,
mm-hmm.
but you could tell she was upset with you.
Yeah, and it came to you in an image, like I mentioned before, and something that you would not fear, unless you fear your mother.
Well,
but
well,
it came to you in an image that you would not fear, yet it was being authoritative.
You mean something like, you get back in that body right now.
Precisely.
Really?
No, that was
sometimes
it.
They govern our experiences because you're not ready.
Uh-huh,
and sometimes they limit, they'll hold you in, as a matter of fact. They'll keep you in the body to keep you from getting out. Because you're not quite ready to experience something. Or maybe you'll have an experience that may terrify you to the point where you'll never want to attempt it again.
Well, it's the strangest thing. After that one time, I am still interested in the subject, but I've never had the desire to do it again.
Well, maybe you should let that fear go. Now, I'll say this. You used the cat analogy earlier, the kitten, I think, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I've got house cats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let them go outside. I think that's bad. Cats die. They get squished on the road and eaten by coyotes here in the desert. And so when my cat wanders outside the door, I usually say, get back in the house
mm-hmm.
right now. So maybe his mom was, in essence, saying that to him.
That makes perfectly good sense to me, Art. That's what it sounds like to me.
All right, Al, stay right where you are. Al Taylor is my guest. We're talking about OBEs and sleep paralysis.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
Little dog, come on, cactus is our friend.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 25th, 1996.
And this is an alert for those of you who like to see really interesting things. In about the next 20 minutes, within the next 20 minutes, depending on where you are, the space shuttle is going to re-enter, and at about this time of the morning, it's a hell of a view. Now, I don't know what parts of the country are going to get the best view of it, but within the next 20 minutes, the shuttle is going to come screaming back. On occasion, you can see this wonderful long orange streak as the shuttle flies across the horizon. Sometimes, if you're close enough, you'll hear a gigantic boom. But this is the shuttle warning. About the next 20 minutes, within the next 20 minutes, you should probably begin looking about now.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Even though I think the middle class is being eroded away because most people are doing relatively okay, we haven't seen that balance of power shift yet. If that gets higher, I think we got a real problem.
I don't see governments being supportive of this kind of rising up of people asserting their frustrations. We're looking at a very historic time beginning to emerge right now.
Now we take you back to the night of September 25th, 1996, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Dear Art, I send you this message because I love you. Many babies die in their crib because of early OBE, the medical term for its crib death. My cousin died in his sleep. He always talked about a strange death-like feeling trying to take him in his sleep. This led him to the occult. He told us one day he's going to give in to the feeling and leave his body. He's now dead. He died in his sleep.
You want my comment?
Sure.
Well, you know, like I said, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who aren't really experiencers, who have opinions on this particular subject, and what really is interesting about this type of thing is it's generally motivated by fear. Now, this person I have had a cousin who passed away who was able to travel out of body, but just because he was able to travel out of body had nothing to do with the timing of his death. Another thing is you got to realize is that there is a plan. There's nothing happens by accident. There is a plan to this whole thing, and just because you travel out of body doesn't mean that that plan is going to be canceled out and now you're going to die, and everyone that was supposed to benefit from your life and that you were supposed to help now have to do without. It doesn't work that way. There is higher guidance. It's not a human thing. It's more of a spiritual thing, and I would say even a God thing. There is a plan, and you have to have kind of faith in that plan. I mean, everybody, if you're whatever religion, you're going to have faith of some sort, and there is a plan. Everything happens exactly as it should.
Well, I think they will understand that. Yeah. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hi, this is Christy from the Tri-Cities, Washington.
Yes.
Hi, Christy.
And when I was 16, I used to have out-of-body experiences, and with the buzzing you were talking about, I had that, but I also, after I left my body, I'd be like up above, and I felt like I was spinning around really fast. I don't know what that was. And I didn't really know a whole lot about it, but I didn't really go anywhere. I kind of went around my house and that, the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I read about it and I started getting into it more, something else started happening. I would go into, the paralysis and go beyond that, and I would go into, like, a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, like, an out-of-body experience. It was more, like a dream. Weird things would go on, how dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I could control it like an out-of-body experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started turning into, like, nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would try to come out of it to wake up, and I would have to say, I thought if I said, I want to wake up, that I could, come out of it, and I couldn't say it. And then finally, if I did say it, I would think that I woke up, I would, sit up in bed, but the dream, the nightmare would continue, and I'd have to do this 5 or 6 times before I would actually wake up.
Uh-huh.
So
beginning, you said you could control it.
Yeah.
And then when it became a nightmare, did you forget you could control it? Did you panic?
I couldn't control what else went on. I could control what I did.
When you say you couldn't, did you try?
Did I try to control what they did? No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
See, it's kind of like you're driving down the freeway, mm-hmm. and a car cuts in front of you, and instead of using the wheel to maneuver out from the way of the car, meaning change lanes,
mm-hmm.
what you did is you panicked and put your hands over your eyes.
Yeah.
if you thought about it, you still have control of the car. You still mm-hmm. can do stuff. But you forgot that you had that control because of what happened visually or whatever your senses picked up.
Mm-hmm.
You still have control, even when you think it's a horrifying dream. In the beginning, when I had lucid dreams, I would dream, I'm afraid of ghosts, at least I have been up until recently,
mm-hmm.
and I would have dreams of ghosts chasing me or haunted mansions, things like that, and all of a sudden I would be very aware, oh yeah, I'm dreaming, and being very aware of that I was dreaming, I would just change the dream, and I wouldn't forget because of the terrifying experience that I could, and I did, and you can always fly away, you can even change the situation. Another thing you mentioned that's very interesting and we haven't touched on is that when you get into the paralysis, there are so many forks in the road there's so many avenues that you can choose. One of them is creating a dream, and I've done that numerous times. And that's when you relax and let go, and instead of rising above, you start visualizing things. And you can create a dream to experience. But you got to remember, you are the actor and director of this play. You haven't lost control in any way, shape, or form. So don't forget that just because something happens that you didn't expect.
Okay. That's interesting.
You haven't lost any control. You just forgot you did.
All right.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Okay. Since that happened, it scared the hell out of me. And I kept myself from having it. And that was 2 years ago. And I haven't had one since. But recently, I began having the paralysis again. And I've made myself wake up because I'm scared that that's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you finished?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, just because, the fearful thoughts are what causes your fearful experiences. And hopefully, read my book. You'll see I had some really incredible fearful experiences. And I survived every last one of them. And after years of traveling, I look forward to traveling out of body more than anything you could imagine. And I recommend it for anybody. And I'm okay. And I understand about my fearful thoughts. The more I understood about how my fears created my experiences, it took practice. It wasn't like a light switch. It took practice for me to understand that and to calm my fear. And the more and more I calmed my fear, the less and less I was having situations that were frightening me, and the more and more open I became, and the further and further I would go.
All right. That makes sense. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Good morning.
Good morning again. I tell you, this is Jake from Plantation, Florida.
Hi, Jake.
I spoke to you before the show, so I figured that didn't count. I'd like to say that this, of all programs in the last 3 or 4 months at my station down here, which went off the air at 6, but I did want to speak to Al, this is the finest program that I've experienced. I haven't heard them all, but I've heard many.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
There's almost an entire correspondence between what Al has been saying and what I have been learning in the past 20 years through my connection with a group based out of a town a little south of Flagstaff, Arizona. I would just caution Al, well, it's not so much that I'm cautioning. You had a guest last week, Art, who said Ouija boards, throw them out of the house.
That's right.
Very often, we get wrapped up in playing with the powers that come to us as we develop. It's very important, I believe, and many do, not to become attached to the powers and not to be attached to the journey, to the ultimate realization of beingness and the totality of all. These are only stops on the way, but we shouldn't be unduly interested in what we could manifest on the way to the total, to the experience of total self-awareness.
Okay, does that make sense to you, Al?
Yes. It's important to stay grounded. You can't just abandon all responsibility and focus on just astral travel or having OBE experiences. It's definitely important to stay grounded because, first of all, you have to live and exist in the physical world.
That's right. So it's not the be-all and end-all. It's
right.
Simply an explanation.
Right.
Of something that is real. I mean, we've been hearing from these people all night long, so it's
exactly.
Obviously real.
Exactly.
All right.
To enhance, not to dominate.
Yeah,
your life.
There you are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hi, my name is Hal, and I'm calling from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, Al.
It's more of a comment, but one time I heard, you know, how you're talking about the voices calling your name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard that and sounded an awful lot like my grandfather. And he died about 6 years before this happened. And then, you know, I was hearing things, so I was up for 36 hours before that. So I went to bed, and then I felt like something just grabbed me and pulled me from my body, mm-hmm. is what it felt like. And then it was more of a dream, per se, and then I saw a dark-haired lady and a little blonde-haired girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the strangest thing is, now that I'm married, my wife has black hair, and my daughter has blonde hair,
mm-hmm.
and it looked just like the little girl in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I don't know if it has anything to do with it. It has a lot to do with it. Like when you're talking about how you were hearing, you know, you hear your name called,
mm-hmm.
and then the roar, too, when mm-hmm. I fell asleep, just the loudest roar I've ever heard. It sounded just like when I was in the military with the jet engine.
So what did this man visit his future?
He didn't visit his future. I'd say the little girl from his future visited him. And you said you saw the blonde girl prior to her being born.
Yeah, and she existed in spirit form, and she presented herself to you as you would see her in life.
Okay,
they do that all the time because, like I said, they pick their parents.
Yeah, that's what
she was hovering around you, checking you out.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like what you were talking about, that how you pick your parents and so on. Maybe like they push you towards your mate.
No,
because
they don't push you towards, because it's all an agreement. You're not forced to do anything.
Collaboration. Yeah, I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But like the woman in my dream or whatever looks just like my wife also.
Mm-hmm. And
so
maybe she was helping you to guide you.
That's
to
what I was
what
trying
you
to
already
convey.
Wanted to do, what you agreed to do.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to convey.
Yeah.
Like they just send you on the little path.
That happens a lot. I've known a lot of people who have seen children in dreams, and then all of a sudden, they have a little boy, or they know they're going to have a little boy, and sure enough, they do, and the kid grows up to look just like the child they saw in their dreams. That happens all the time, because like I said, they come to you, and they stay around you, observing you, and to pick you, to choose you.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
all right.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Well,
mm-hmm.
that was just fine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Where are you, sir?
I am in Ocean Beach,
all right.
California.
Okay.
May I give my last name?
First-time callers call area 702-727-1222. Okay, well, no, he just disqualified himself. I didn't want a last name, and he couldn't resist, I guess. First-time caller line, you're on the air. How you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, where are you?
I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee?
My name's Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I want to share an experience with you that my daughter had 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was 5 years old, and her father had passed away. And one morning she woke up and she said, Mommy, I went flying last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this all the time, so I understood what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, where did you go? And she said, Mommy, I saw Jesus. And I started asking her questions, and I said, what did he look like? She said, Mommy, he had a purple robe on, and he told me that everything was going to be just fine. But I thought this was a wonderful experience, you know, for her.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, you know, I tell them the story, and they say, oh, that's demons and everything else. And I said, how can you say that when she saw Jesus? But it's like now I talk to her, and she doesn't want to talk about it. I think it scares her now.
Hmm.
So.
And you reinforce it with her?
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
I tell her everything's fine. And also, I wanted to ask a question. When this happens to me, it seems like it's all the time. And my husband will try to wake me up, and it's like I just plop back in my body,
mm-hmm.
and for the whole day I feel tired.
I have a question. How does he know it's happening?
Pardon?
How does he know it's happening to you?
Let me ask, do you moan when this is happening?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that's how he knows?
Uh-huh.
Right. I call that in my book, Abort Sequence.
Uh-huh.
Because that's like saying, help me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so tired all day long.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes, see, if you were to stay out of body for a long time, then come back, your body wouldn't be as tired. But you sound like you're not leaving completely, or maybe you leave for a little while and you come back and then you go through a dream state type of thing, a restless sleep.
Right.
The only thing I can say is that try some of the techniques I put in my book. You know, they work to the point where you'll be out and you won't be in that dream state and you won't be tossing and turning. And do the relaxation, the visualization, and things may smooth out for you. Regarding the condemnation that you heard from other people, like I said, with this thing I found that everybody is an expert, but few of them are really experiencers. So just take it with a grain of salt, and that's where they're coming from. It really has nothing to do with your experience. Think of it as your experiences are powerful, and what your little girl said doesn't sound demonic. I mean, if she has experience with Jesus, what could be demonic about that?
Right.
That sounds almost hypocritical to say that it is.
Right.
Well,
don't worry about what they say. Yeah. I have heard so many things. People have said so many fearful things about this, but none of them have had these experiences.
The world is full of that.
Yeah, it's going to go on. But you're having something that your little girl is having, and I think it's wonderful. Support it, be open to her, and let her explore what her own being, because that's what she's doing.
All right. We're almost out of time, Al, but maybe one more. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Al Taylor. Hi.
Hello, Art. Richard in Kelso. I was hoping Mr. Taylor could explain what happened to me. I was having a vivid dream one night a couple years ago. I was dreaming I was at my old house where I grew up, 10 miles away. I woke up, I was wide awake, and yet I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. I tried yelling to my wife. She couldn't, I couldn't get anything out. So I blinked my eyes, and suddenly I was back at my old house, 10 miles away. I was still conscious that I was paralyzed, and I blinked my eyes, and I was back in my bedroom.
Oh.
I still couldn't move. I blinked my eyes again. I was back at the old house, 10 miles away.
Wow.
I blinked my eyes again. I was back in the bedroom. The whole time, this went on for several minutes. I just fought and fought and fought, and the first thing I got back was just a faint voice. I was able to get out a squeak, and then finally I could yell.
Well, what happened? That was classic, wasn't it, Al?
Yeah, I hear that a lot. You know, a lot of people go to old houses. Let me ask you this. Was the house different from what you remember?
He's already gone, so we're so short on time.
Yeah, a lot of people have experiences like that where they go to their old house because what's happening is, you know, there may be a part of you that is very comfortable and drawn to that, and if you're in that state, you can create it or even experience the old house, and it doesn't matter what time period. because there are no time limitations.
All right.
So
now,
it's very easy to do that.
We're woefully out of time. Listen, my friend, it has been a wonderful night. You are a dream come true for a lot of people that have been calling for days. I'm glad I found you. And I want you to give your 800 number again for your book. The name of the book is Soul Traveler by Al Taylor. Al, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Art, for this opportunity, and I'm really honored to be able to help and share this my experiences with people out there to help them.
Take care, my friend.
You too.
Good night.
We will be in contact.
Sleep
Bye-bye.
Well. Sleep well. Well, that's it, folks. We'll be back again tonight. Don't forget, with Dr. Jesse Marcel, Jr. from the beautiful high desert. Good night, America.